जय ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम थेरा प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale. Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine. Narvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీతి నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిదా శ్రీగౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగవిరుద్ధా వా సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంభోదే పదాంబుజాయ తే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయ తే గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్తుం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియాః వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం మామీం భక్తశాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంధ రాధాకాంత నమోస్తు జయదం సురదౌభంగోర్మమందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంభోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమద్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపేర్గోపీనాథాశ్రయేస్తు ఉత్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ నమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే We were discussing last Sunday was mainly about the way Krishna describes the time and space as Maya. That's what we spoke about, isn't it? Krishna is saying time and space is Maya. It's a concept which even the modern science has not got anywhere near to that understanding. They are always in the grip of time and space, whereas for the rishis, time and space is Maya. Time and space is Maya. So, therefore, we saw last Sunday when we talked about the Mamu, Krishna mentions there that the Mam Upetya, with 15th words, మాం ఉపేత్య పునర్జన్మం దుఃఖాలయం అశాశ్వతం నాప్నువంది మహాత్మానం సంసిద్ధిం పరమాం గతాః అండ్ కృష్ణ ఆల్సో మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్ ఆ బ్రహ్మ భువనాల్లోకః పునర్ ఆవర్తి అర్జున మాం ఉపేత్య తు కౌంతేయ పునర్జన్మం న విద్యతే ఫ్రమ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ ప్లానెట్ ఇన్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ డౌన్ టు ద లోవెస్ట్ ఆల్ ఆర్ ప్లేసెస్ ఆఫ్ మిసరీ where repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So, there we have seen that the influence of time and space is something very difficult to free ourselves from. And we saw this example in Yoga Vasishtam, where Vasishtha Maharshi talks to Kaga Bhishundi. Kakamishundi says to Vasishtha that I have seen so many Brahmas in my lifetime, she says. Not only that, he also says that it is my prarabdham that I had to be here like this, going through this. I'm not able to get get myself released from here. He also mentioned that it was my prarabdham that I had to witness to all this creation happening, all the creation coming in, coming and going, coming and going. It's a very long period of time from our, relatively from our short existence in this world. Not only, Kakabhushundi also says to Vasishtha that I have seen so many incarnations of Vishnu here. So many incarnations have come and gone in that period. Because you can see that from that example, Kakabhushundi's example, that to go beyond time is a very difficult thing. Even after living such a long time, so many places, so many times he has come and gone, Kakabhushundi is saying there that to go beyond this thing called time is a very difficult process till completely realization happens from here. So, this thing called time is in our mind. We saw that, didn't we? Thing called time is in our mind. And time, you cannot keep calculating time. How do you calculate this thing called time? You have caught on to something and then you are saying, this is 10 years, 15 years, 100 years, like that. But when you get your mind into a standstill state, when one able to transcend the barriers of the time, that is the way Krishna is expecting. For example, why the rishis calculated this time like this? There is a reason behind it. Why did they go into such minute levels of time calculations? We saw that, didn't we? That even 1 second, they could go further down up to 32,400 part of a second, they are saying. Why did they do that? The reason for that is, they started realizing that at what stage of the calculation of time, the mind will become totally standstill. So their calculation is that when it comes to 32,400 part of a second, the mind seems to be practically stable. Doesn't seem to have much more, any more activities happening in that mind. Mind is in a lot more quietened situation. And in that state, they are saying here, that you are practically, you can say that you have gone beyond the time. Once you are stuck in the grip of the time, it is not possible to realize the self. That's the problem. That's why even in third canto of Bhagavatam, and also in the second canto, there's a lot of discussion about time, isn't it? Brahma's creation process discussed there. In the Narayaniyam, the same thing, when it came, he summarized the whole thing and said, in very one verse he put it, Sandra Anandava Bhodalmakam Anupamidam Kala Deshavadibhyam. That Brahmam is Kala Deshavadibhyam. Kalam and Desham. Time and space has Kala Deshavadibhyam, transcend them. That is Brahmam. Only when you transcend time and space, you realize what is Brahmam, Brahmam realization. So, that means both the time and the space, when does it happen? That also you have to see how it takes birth. As soon as you wake up in the morning, first thing is the false ego comes out. I am, isn't it? I am awareness. And when the mind comes, when the false ego comes out, and when the mind opens up, it is at that time only you will know about the time and space. Otherwise, you won't know time and space. Because in Sushupti, deep sleep, there is no time and space, isn't it? Only in the morning, every day, this is our daily occurrence. Every morning when we wake up, first thing, ahankaram comes, false ego comes out. And that ahankaram, from there the manas, mind comes. And when the mind opens up fully, it is then this time and space is becoming a powerful influence in our life. In our life, vyavaharam begins and time and space comes there, isn't it? So you can see here, once the mind closes down, or when the false ego goes away, you will not know the time and space. You will not know the time and space, isn't it? Time and space is finished then. It's not there in the deep sleep state. That is the... So, it is to tell us, Krishna, in this situation with the deep sleep is only for this purpose, to make us aware that it is possible to escape from the time and space. And also, when you escape from the time and space, that state is realized state. Right? It is a realized state. We may not experience it today, because this is all Paroksha Jnanam it is. It's not Aparoksham yet. What is the idea behind all this is, whatever we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, that is called Paroksha Jnanam. That should be mananam. We have to perform mananam with that, contemplation on that. And we have to turn that into Aparoksha Jnanam. Into the experience level it has to come. What Krishna is giving us is the principle behind it. That's all. That's all Krishna can do. It's up to us to take it into our level of contemplation or mananam and then convert that into Aparoksha Jnanam. Aparoksha Jnanam means anubhuti, experience level. It has to come. It has to come. So, as long as I am thinking I am this body, I am in the... As long as I have body identification, I am in the grip of time and space. Is it not? There's nothing we can do. As soon as I think I am this body, I am in the grip of time and space. But the moment I move away from the bodily identity, I move into the situation that I am spirit soul, if that comes, there is no time, there is no space anymore. Soul doesn't have time, no space. Only body has time and space and the mind. So, that is why Krishna is saying there in that verse, Mam ubeti punarjanmam, mam ubeti tu kaundeya punarjanma na vidyate. Here all you have to see this mam, 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 Krishna says, it refers to the soul in everyone. That's, if you move on to the spiritual platform, punarjanmam na vidyate, there is no more rebirth after that. Most of the time we are thinking that, oh, if I go back to spiritual world, then there is no more rebirth. No. The proper understanding is this. Mam upetya punarjanmam. Mam upetya tu kaundeya punarjanmana vidyate. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? You can see there in the 16th verse. Abhrahma bhuvana loga punaravarti arjuna. Mam upetya tu kaundeya punarjanmam na vidyate. There is no more punarjanmam. Punarjanmam. But when you read that verse, you will start thinking, oh, only in this planet there is punarjanmam. If I escape from this planet, there will be no more punarjanmam. It is not like that. What it means is that once you move away from the self-realization happens, or you come out of the bodily identity, then there is no more punarjanmam anymore. There is no more repeated birth. That's why I say, mam ubetidu kaunteya punarjanmam na vidyade. That mam there refers to that self-realization. Going back to Krishna means going back to your spiritual identity. That's what it is to be understood. That is to be going back to your spiritual identity, moving away from the bodily identity. Otherwise, that means going back to Krishna, in other words. If that happens, then you are not anymore in the grip of time and space. You can see this also in a different way if you look at it. When you are in the grip of time and space, you realize that Krishna has taken birth. Although he is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Ajobisan Avay Alma, I have no birth. But why do we feel now that Krishna has taken birth? Because you are in the bodily identity. That is why you are feeling that. Self-realized personalities, for them, there is no Janmashtami. Janmashtami is for us. Because we are in the bodily identity, we need all this. Ramanavami we need, Janmashtami we need, Narasimha Chaturdashi we need, Shivaratri we need, everything we need now. Why? Because when you are in the identification with the body, you need all of that. But therefore, we start thinking that because we identify with the body so much, we find out how many years ago Krishna appeared in this world, 5,000 years. How long did he live? 125 years, we say like that. Oh, when we start thinking, oh, he appeared here, he took birth there, and then we saw him in that particular form there, and we talk like that all the time. So there is a, people ask this question, when did Krishna take birth? When was he born? They ask this question all the time, isn't it? Was he born in the BC or AD? This is what they want to understand. This is how this time causes this problem inside. And then they will ask, oh, was he in the BC or AD? And when did he take? Then they start arguing about it. They start argument about it, isn't it? All these fighting arguments going on based on this thing called the time. And Krishna is saying here, first come out of the time, then we can talk about spiritual life. Otherwise, there's no point in discussing about spiritual life. Because bodily identification is based on time and space. Time and space goes with bodily identification. And these are the people discussing about spiritual life. Then what is the meaning? So, all of them you can see is based on the time and space and based on the body. And it's a very deep subject this is. This time and space and this appearance of all these different incarnations, everything. Krishna is telling us, this time itself is not the truth. It's not truth. That's what he's making it explicitly clear. That time itself is not a truth. And only in the influence of time, a vastu appears and disappears. Vastu appears and disappears. And you are thinking that is the form. And based on that form, whether the form has come or not, then you are thinking whether it is in AD or BC, and then you are arguing about it. Isn't it? That's what goes on. All these historians and all the other people who are in a different religious groups, they all quarrel about this issue. Mine is older religion, yours is a new religion. And when did your religion start? When did our religion start? All kinds of issues they talk about it. And their perception is based on this understanding that time is the real thing. Krishna is saying to us, time itself is not a real thing. Because we are in the identification with the body, for us, because the bodily identity, time and space is taken into account. But once you move away from the bodily identity to the spiritual level, spiritual field, when you going to shed your body one day, what time, what space then? There is no time, there is no space after that, isn't it? So, so they were calculating Shankaracharya's time and birth, place, space, time and birth also. He replied about that. That's all fine. You can talk about this appearance and disappearance and all that, whether AD or BC or anything. But he says, I am that vastu which has no birth or death. Which has no birth or death. That is what we are all. It's not only Shankaracharya, it's like all of us are in that. That is our identity, which doesn't have a birth or a death. That they won't take into account. And then you are arguing and fighting each other about my birth, he said. What is the point about this? That this is a nonsense, isn't it? That you are not understanding what that person is, first of all. Not knowing that this is a Purna Vastu. According to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vastu inside is Purnam, complete itself in its, on its own. It doesn't require this body. In the very existence of the body itself is questionable. Is it a genuine thing, this thing called a body? So, and soul cannot come under the influence of time. Only body can come under the influence of time. And similarly, one who has realized the truth, he also is not under the influence of time. One who has come to realize the self, he is not under the influence of time anymore. And it is ignorant people who argue on the basis of time and space, everything in this world, and starts comparing this. And it is our ignorance that is. It has nothing to do with the proper spiritual life. It has nothing to do with the spiritual life. It's coming from ignorance. It's coming from ignorance. So you can see here, Whoever, Krishna is going to say this now in the next few verses, anyone who sees me, Krishna is saying, anyone who sees me under the influence of time or under the influence of space or in a particular form, that's what I am. And Krishna gives him a good title in the next verse. Mooda Buddhaya, he says. Mooda Buddhi. It is wrong to bring Krishna under influence of time and space and start thinking, oh, you have appeared in Mathura or in 5,000 years ago and spent 125 years in this world and then you left from here. If you start seeing Krishna like that, Krishna says, I'll call that person as Mooda Buddhi. You'll see that in the next verse. So, and Mooda Buddhi. Mooda Buddhi means he hasn't woken up yet. He's still in the same ignorance in the bodily identity. He's carrying on in that way. Mooda Buddhayam. Because you are thinking that I am that person who appeared in the Vrindavanam or Gokulam and disappeared from here after 125 years. And I am a vastu which is avyaktam, Krishna says. So, avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? In the verse number... you will see a verse. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya. I don't know, it is in the 7th chapter, I think. We looked at that. 7th chapter, yes. What was number? Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam. Krishna is already... That verse is important in the 7th chapter. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya.
724.
724, yes. That's right. So, we discussed this verse at the... Already in the 7th chapter, Krishna has put that foundation there. Try to understand me, he says. I am avyaktam. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya. Verse 24. Let's have a look at that. Yes. Param bhavam ajanando mama avyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. You see? So, Krishna is not, if you start thinking personality, 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 and holding on to that thinking that everything else is wrong, Krishna is saying to us, unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. Avyaktam is, that is the word Krishna is using there. Avyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifested. And he says here, avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyadeyamam abuddhayam. Isn't it? Varmindeyamam abuddhayam. So, they are called Mudha. Who is thinking that I am a person under the grip of time and space and I am this form. I am this form. Krishna is saying they are Mudha Buddhaya. Mudha Buddhaya. And in other words, I am avyaktam. Krishna is saying I am avyaktam. Because he is spiritual, completely spirit. Consciousness he is, isn't it? And if you think that I am only a person, if you keep thinking like that, Mooda Buddhaya, because he does not know my Swarupam, Krishna is saying here. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya. Parambhavam ajanando mamavyayam anuttamam. Isn't it? Parambhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Try to look into that verse and think through it a little bit deeper. That parambhavam, I have a superior form than this nature, what you are seeing me. I have a superior form. And parambhavam, ajanando mama avyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who know me not think that I have assumed this form and personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is changeless and supreme. And that is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. The super soul, Antaryami inside everybody. So, I'll come to that a little bit more later. So, those who do not know, avyaktam vyaktimabhannam, such people, people who don't have that knowledge, they think that I am simply a person. I'm simply a person. And from that avyaktam, not only Krishna is coming, but all names and forms also comes from that avyaktam. From that avyaktam. It comes from the avyaktam, it dissolves into the avyaktam. Dissolves into the avyaktam. That is why you see that seventh chapter, it is knowledge of the absolute, isn't it? Knowledge of the truth, in other words. So Krishna wants to put it like this to us. This is that avyaktam is the unmanifested form from where everything comes out, everything manifests. All names, forms, all species, all kinds of living entities, everything come from that avyaktam state. In avyaktam state, we are all one. In the vyaktam state, we are all different. We are all... Avyaktam state is our original state, from where we all came out, isn't it? So, in the time, at the time of devastation, it appears and dissolves. You can see this also. This has to be connected with our daily life in the world. We sleep and we wake up. What's the first thing that comes? I am. Ego comes. So name has come, and I am such and such a person. Individuality comes. It all came from avyaktam. Avyaktam is the state in the sushupti. And when you come wake up, what happens? Vyaktimabhanam, personality comes, individuality comes. This individuality, when you wake up from the sleep, it takes birth. It takes birth. And when you sleep, it disappears. Is it not? We are only personality and Mr., Mrs., Miss, all this is only in the Jagrat state. In the deep sleep state, there is no Mr., Mrs. or anything, is it? There is no Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, Prime Minister, President, nothing. Man, woman, no. Boy, girl, nothing there in the deep sleep state. That's all the avyaktam. And there, every one of us is the same. It's one there. It's one there. From that oneness, when we come, wake up in the morning, individuality first comes to all of us. We get our individual ego. Personality comes, and a form, we becomes conscious of the form, awareness of our bodily identity, existence, everything. And the same thing, when we go back to sleep again in the night, it all disappears. We go back to avyaktam. That's why Krishna is saying, avyaktam vyaktimabhanam manyademam abuddhaya parambhavam ajanando mamavyayam anuttamam. Now, what is the difference then? Difference is this, when Krishna appears with the name and form, he is still in the avyaktam state, whereas we have immediately fallen into the identification with the body. That's where the... So similarly, at the time of devastation also, he says all the namarupam, names and forms all appears and disappears. So if we cannot give this same thing, that will happen at the time of devastation, at the time when whole thing gets dissolved. But the proof of the same thing that will happen at the time of dissolution is this sushupti state. The sushupti state is only for this purpose, to give us an indication to us, actually we are not what we are in the vacant state. That is the first important thing. We should not misidentify ourselves with the vacant state and think that we are what we experience in the vacant state. That is the greatest mistake. That's the point Krishna is making here. That if you identify with what you are in the vacant state, that is not your proper identity. Proper identity is in the avyaktam state. Vyaktimabhanam, because you can see this every morning, when we wake up, we get our identity as individuality or personality, and then the whole thing disappears in the night. So that's what Krishna is mentioning there. That in that verse you will see there. Abhrahma Bhuvana Lokaha, 16th verse. Punar Avarti Arjuna. Mam Upetyadu Kaunteya Punar Janmam Navidyate. So that Mam Upetya means... That means you have lost your bodily identity, you have gone back to your spiritual identity. And if you are staying in that state all the time, there is no rebirth. Punarjanmam na vidyate. In other words, when self-realization happens and you go back to your spiritual identity, there is no rebirth anymore after that, which is understandable, isn't it? When you go back to your spiritual nature, then there is no question of rebirth again from that. There is no more rebirth after that. That's what it's saying here. So, and that is the, therefore, Sushupti state itself is our pramanam. Pramanam. Pramanam means authority. Sushupti is the authority in this. To prove it to us that it is like that. That is our authority. So, that is the next verse. If you look, you will see what Krishna is saying there. We look at verse 8. That is the 18th verse. The same thing is, because the 17th verse I mentioned last time also, Sahasra Yugavaryantam Mahayad Brahmano Vidu Ratrimigo Sahasrandam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. It's all the time calculations as far as the Brahma is concerned. That's what is that 17th verse. But in the 18th verse, you can see that what Krishna is saying there, that Avyaktad Vyaktaya Sarva Prabhavandi Aharagame Ryatriagame Praliyante Tatrai Avyakta Samyake Avyaktad Vyaktaya Sarva Prabhavandi Aharagame Ratriagame praliyante Tatrayavyakta samyake Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva Prabhavandi aharagame Ratri agame praliyante Tatrayavyakta samyake. Now the definition of avyaktam. How, what does avyaktam means? When Brahma's day is manifest, this multitude of living entities comes into being, and at the arrival of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. They are all annihilated. What is annihilated is the body, not the individual consciousness. It doesn't get annihilated. So, that is that verse. Avyaktam, avyaktad vyaktaya sarva, prabhavandi aharagame. So, that verse, avyaktam vyaktaya sarve, prabhavandi aharagame. Yatriagame praliyande, tatrai avyakta samyage. So, when Brahma's daytime begins, from avyaktam, all vastus are born. Everybody is born. And in the night time, we go back to avyaktam again. Avyaktam means, this Brahma, when it is referred to in the Bhagavad Gita, is more or less like that source from where all creation happens. It's in that way it is spoken. The source from where all the creations are. Avyaktad avyaktam prajapatehe swapavastha tasmad avyaktad vyaktayo vyajyade iti vyaktayaha stavara jangama lakshanaha sarvaha prajaha prabhavandi abhivyajyande ahna agama aharagama tasmin aharagame kale brahmana prabhota kale. In other words, Brahma, when he is sleeping, that sleeping time is avyaktam. Brahma wakes up, all of us wakes up. When Brahma sleeps, we all sleep. Firstly, we all sleep. And therefore, tatha ratriyagame brahmana swabhakale praliyande sarva vyaktaya tatra eva purvo vyakte avyakta samyage. When it is night time, Brahma starts sleeping and devastation begins. Devastation begins and everything becomes avyaktam. So, here, Krishna is saying here, avyaktad vyaktaya sarve prabhavandi aharagame. Now, avyaktam means what? Avyaktam means Brahma sleeping is called avyaktam. Brahma's sleeping is called avyaktam. Our sleeping is called nidra. What? When we sleep is called nidra. Brahma's sleeping is called avyaktam. Our sleeping is also same thing, avyaktam, in one sense, because we don't know anything at what's happening at that time, isn't it? Nothing we know about it. And we can't find out what's happening at that time, because as soon as you go to sleep, everything disappears. Everything disappears. But one thing we know when we wake up, that although everything has disappeared, when you wake up, you know there is a dullness there. Is it not? We feel that what has happened during that sleep, you start reflecting back onto it, you notice that there is a dullness there in that sleep, that tamogunam's strong presence there. Something was covering us at that point, avaranam. That's called avaranam. That means in that deep sleep state, something has been covering us. That's why we enjoyed the time in that deep sleep state, but we are unable to explain what was happening due to that covering. Tamogunam, covering potency of that. So that, in the Shastram, they call this as Jadhyam, Jadada, a kind of Jadhyam. Jadhyam means, I didn't know anything, but I'm not able to explain that, why I didn't know it. Sometimes you can see here, in our vacant state, suppose you can say something you didn't know, but you will say that, oh, it was due to, I didn't remember, you will say. I didn't remember that. You may have known that, but you didn't remember that. That is the Jadhyada in the vacant state. But Jadhyada in the deep sleep is different, because you have never known what it is. Therefore, you don't know how to put it through to somebody, how to explain to someone what was happening. You couldn't explain that, what was happening. But you know very well that you are there, because you experienced happiness there. When you come wake up in the morning, you are saying that you had a happy time in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So the fact that you are saying that you had a deep sleep state happiness shows that you are experiencing something, but then you are not able to explain it what it is because of this dullness or jadhyada, what you have experienced in the deep sleep. So I didn't know anything that is called Jadhyam, and I was feeling very good. That comes from the soul. In the deep sleep state, I didn't know anything. That comes from the intelligence. But I was feeling happy, that happiness, feeling of happiness, that was coming from the soul. That's coming from the soul. So, two people in Sushupti state, Krishna is saying here, daytime, Vyaktaya Sarvaha Prabhayandi. Like this is interesting, in the vacant state, we will see now here, it's about 10 or 12 people we are here, we'll see. Listen, we are here now, 10 or 12 people, because we are all in the vacant state. But if we all of us are in the deep sleep state, this 10 and 12 has no meaning, isn't it? That's finished there. Only as soon as vacant state comes, plural. Everything plural. Everything in plural. Many people then. But when we are all in the deep sleep state, there is not many people. Bodies are lying there, but everyone's state of consciousness is one. You see? Oneness. So, although now we are sitting here, all of us, or if we all have gone to sleep here, during that deep sleep state, we are all sleeping separately. That feeling is not there. Isn't it? Each of us are separate. That feeling doesn't come in the deep sleep state. Whereas when you wake up and in the bodily identity, we feel we are all separate. We are all dressed separately. We speak different ways. we live in different places, so many identities all comes back to us in the waking state without our own knowledge. But as soon as we go into deep sleep state, there is no separate identity existing anymore between us. So Krishna is saying here, there is only one thing, avyaktad vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi aharagame. This oneness of this state is only in the deep sleep state. And from that deep sleep state, when you wake up in the morning, what happens? Vyaktaya sarvaha prabhavandi, Krishna is saying. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva prabhavadi aharagame. Aharagame means daytime. Ahasa is daytime. In the daytime, aharagame, when the daytime comes, from avyaktam, everything becomes vyaktam. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarve. Avyaktam state is that deep sleep state in the night time when we were sleeping. While sleeping, we are not separate. We are all one. Because everyone is in the same consciousness. There is no higher and lower there. No man and woman. There is boy, girl, nothing. And there is no rich man, poor man, prime minister, pauper or president. Nothing there. No identity at all. Completely taken out. Only the vastu inside separately kept away from everything. And that vastu is the same in everyone. Because you can see at that time, all the vastu, when it goes away from the body, it has only one thing to say. I had a great time. That's all. In that deep sleep state. But that is avyaktam. Krishna is saying, avyaktal vyaktaya sarve. It all becomes vyaktam when prabhavadi aharagame, when the ahas daytime comes. When the daytime comes and all the vyakti, all the individualities or personalities all wake up in the morning. All personalities wakes up in the morning and all these personalities saying, what are every personality saying? I am, I am, I am, I am. We all start saying, I did this, I did that, and somebody else says, no, 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 I was there, I knew about it. Everybody is I at that time. So all these people who have come all over, everywhere in the world, it is the same thing. And everybody says, oh, I had a great dream, or I saw this dream. Two people have slept next to each other and they are saying, I have seen in my dream both of us walking in the Himalayas or something. Something like that. They'll say like this. Did you see the same way in your dream? If you ask, that person says, no, I was having a deep sleep. I wasn't dreaming about it. So, as soon as you even come to dream state, you have become two. It's only in the deep sleeps you are one. As soon as you come to deep sleep, dream state, personality has come there. And it has separated us straight away. And when you come to Jagrat, better not to speak about it. It's gone millions then, isn't it? Millions and billions. And then we do our, what they call census, and make a record of everything. How many living entities has come from avyaktam, has become vyaktam. Avyaktam vyaktim avannam manyadeyamam abhuddhaya. Krishna is saying, that's why Krishna uses the word there. Manyadeyamam in abhuddhaya. Abhuddhaya means no buddhi. That was in the verse before, isn't it? 724 he said. Avyaktam manyadeyamam abhuddhaya. Abhuddhaya means mudha, one who has no, who is foolish person. So here, Krishna is saying here, that one person says, I was in the Himalayas in the sleep. Another person says, I was in the Sahara Desert. In the dream state. Even in the dream state. So, two people, two experiences. By the time when you come to dream state, two experiences. So, personality wakes up at that time and in deep sleep, it goes and disappears. Personality disappears. Personality disappears. That's why, Vyaktaya sarve prabhavandi aharagame, Krishna is saying here. Then what does he say? Ratriagame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyake. Ratriagame praliyande. In other words, in the deep sleep state, in the night time, while sleeping, praliyande, it dissolves. who personality dissolves, individuality dissolves at that time, tatraiva avyakta samyake, and everything goes into that vastu, vastu goes into that thing called avyaktam and it disappears. It is avyaktam because we don't know what is happening at that time. What's up? That's why it's called avyaktam. So Krishna laid this foundation for this 8th chapter and the 7th chapter itself. Avyakta vyaktaya sarve prabhavandi aharagame ryatri agame priliyande tatrai avyakta samyake. So avyaktam vyaktam, these two things we have to know properly. Avyaktam means that deep sleep state. Say daily experience this is in our life, every single day, isn't it? We go into avyaktam, we come back to vyaktam. We go into avyaktam again, we come back to vyaktam. This is that continuous shift from one to another, one to another. And still, due to our muda buddhaya, Krishna is saying, you have taken your this vyaktitvam so seriously, personality. You are taking that so seriously. So, similarly, Brahma also, Brahma sleeps, the whole material existence goes away. It doesn't exist. We should not think that, oh, Brahma has put his bed correctly, adjusted the AC, everything, because he's going to sleep for such a long time. That's all in the bodily level we are thinking like that, due to our bodily identification. We'll start thinking of Brahma, 1000 Chaturyugam he has to sleep. It's not a very short period of time, isn't it? If you start thinking in terms of our body, this is the same mistake Krishna is telling us all the time. Don't keep on thinking in spiritual life in relationship with your body. Your body is nothing here in spiritual life. The body has no meaning at all. So, therefore, he is saying here that this has to be seen in relationship with creation. When Brahma sleeps, whole creation sleeps. Whole creation sleeps. That's how you have to understand this personality, Brahma. You should not think, if you start thinking everybody as a person, what will happen is, Brahma, oh, he has got 4.2 billion or for so much billion years lifetime. And out of that, he will be sleeping, say, 1000 Chaturyugam is a night for him, isn't it? So one Chaturyugam is something like, I don't know, in the last verse he has given all the calculations, isn't it? Sahasrayugam Vajendam, yeah, all the calculations are there. Prabhupada also given the, put the calculations here. He's mentioning here that the four yugas rotating in the comprise the day of Brahma, creator, and Brahma lives 100 such years, and these 100 years by calculation to 311 trillion. And 40 million earth years, he says. 311 trillion. And 40 million earth years. And here we are, we don't even have a record beyond 2000 years in this world today. Proper recorded knowledge about what happened before that. Even 100 years ago what happened, we don't know many things. Isn't it? So, he says here, by these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable, but from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. All this is spoken. So you can see, Prabhupada is given there 1.8 million for Satyayugam, 1.3 million for Tretayugam, 864,000 for the Dwaparayugam, and 432,000 for the Kali Yuga. So all of them, if you add up, 1.8, 1.3, and 8.864 and 0.432, you will get more or less
43,000.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah, it's a long period of time. So similarly, 1000 Chaturyugams makes a day of Lord Brahma. So that's how much he's going to sleep as well, his night, isn't it?
In Hindi, it's Arab 32 crore.
Whatever that is, yeah. Number, matter now. So the point here is that Krishna is saying here, Brahma wakes up, creation appears. Brahma sleeps, creation goes away. Creation goes away. And Brahma's daytime is 1000 Chaturyugam, and when Brahma sleeps, everybody is sleeping. And Brahma wakes up, everybody wakes up. Similarly, For us also, we are sleeping. When we sleep, the world disappears. World disappears. And when we wake up, the world wake up. Is it not? The world wake up in the same way. And similarly, just like one yugam, in our life also, that life itself is a dream state. Is a dream state. And sometimes people say, so you can see this also, sometimes you are having a dream, and in that dream there will be another dream. One dream within another dream. It happens sometimes. A dream within another dream. And there some people are dreaming, and in that there will be another dream. So so many people have that experience. So what do they see there? What do they see at that time? In the dream state, in their dreams, suppose they are dreaming. They are sleeping and they are dreaming. And in their dream, they are feeling, experiencing as though they are sleeping. In the dream state, they are sleeping. In their dream, they are sleeping. So similarly, this lifetime what we are now having, it's a concrete dream. What we call it as now, vacant state, I'm saying, it's a concrete dream. And that's why you say this to anybody, it's a dream, nobody will agree with that, isn't it? This is the, what they call as the very, very strong effect. Ramana Maharshi calls it as the scorpionic grip of the vacant state. That vacant state is makes us feel so strongly that this is a reality. This is a reality. So, and we also feel every day is a continuity. Suppose I've gone back to sleep. Next morning when I wake up, I remember everything what yesterday I was doing. I don't remember many things for many years or anything. Just few days what I may be remembering. Other things is all in the memory, but not very clear everything. Probably I'll remember some important things what I think is important for my life in this world, like paying the rent or paying the bills or a few things associated with this body. That I will keep it and it will come out next day morning. So I start thinking, oh, this is not a dream, this is real, because everything I remember from yesterday. You don't remember everything from yesterday, only a few things what it matters important to you. The only things that you remember. So, but because of this, what happens is you feel a continuity in the life. You feel a continuity in life. So this is many people's doubt in their mind, that how do you call this is a dream state? This vacant state is a dream state. They are saying, the house which was there yesterday, I am seeing it today also. I am seeing the same house today. And the same house, what I am seeing today, I will be seeing it tomorrow also. So, like that, they will argue about that. This dream, you have to remember, this dream will only last as long as this body is there. Therefore, this dream is called a sthula sapna. The other one is a sushma sapna. The dream which you experience in the sleep, that is a sushma sapna. This is a sthula sapna. Sthula means gross dream or a concrete dream, as they call it. This dream, what is going on at the moment. Everybody, if they given a little bit of peace inside and they reflect on it, they'll easily understand it is nothing but a dream. It is not very difficult to understand. So, other thing is that it is a dhirga sapnam. It's a long, lasting a little longer time. That's all. Because this body is lasting a little longer time. Therefore, this dream also lasts a little longer time. And within this dream, other dreams are coming. Which one? The dreams which we have it in the night. So, somehow or the other, we got identified with this dream as real and the other dream as a dream. This is a real thing like that. So, and this dream will last as long as this personality or this identity with this body remains. Only then this dream will last. After that, what's going to happen? Where is your dream then? Where is the vacant state? This all the work what we have done in this life to do various things, thinking that, oh, this is real life. Life is real. And then we say life is begins at 40. And now they are saying it's not at 40, it's at 50, I believe. Now they changed it now. It's at 50 and all kinds of nonsense we make out of it. But from the Krishna is saying to us, don't take any of these things as truth. Like time and space is not truth, real. First of all, the body is not real. Nothing is real in this. If you come to the proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita, nothing is real. None of this is real. So the personality itself is not real. You can see that. Our own person, jivatvam, is also not real, because you can see in the deep sleep state, when we go to deep sleep, that personality even disappears. Personality means body, isn't it? Based on the body, even that disappears. Everything dissolves. So, like this, in this way, this lifetime goes on, continues like this. After that, when death comes, which is called the devastation, and this whole thing disappears. This dream will finish, this concrete or the sthulam sopnam, this whole dream finishes when death happens. Isn't it? When death happens, the body is gone, and all the dream we have created centered around this body also disappears at that time. That's why this 8th chapter, Krishna is trying to explain to us what is death means. Death is for the body. You don't die. This is the most important message there. Like, that is self-realization means, isn't it? And if we don't move on to that identity, but if we keep on holding on to this identity, bodily identity, then death is there. Death is always there. So, if you try to, after this death, if you try to find out your personality, you cannot get it back, can you? Because with the body, it's gone. The personality with whom you have identified in this life as any personality, doesn't matter what it is, president or prime minister or poor man or rich man or woman or Indian, American, European, doesn't matter what it is. Whatever personality you have identified with this, with the death of the body, that personality has gone. You can't get it back again. You can't get it back again. So, so that is the... how temporary this personality is. We are all used to think, sometimes we make it such a big mockery of this personality business. We start thinking, oh, if I say I'm a person, or he's very personal, they say. People say like that, don't they? They say that, oh, he's very personal. They think that, oh, they're somewhat superior to everybody else. They say they're personal. What is your personal complete maya that is? That personal thing. Then they say there's a personal touch to it. Like this, people make statements, but that's not knowledge. That's ajnanam it is. Avidya. That's what it is speaking. That personality and personal touch and all these kind of things. So, Krishna's, this Bhagavad Gita verses are very, very subtle, and they open up many things to us. And Krishna is saying to us that this personality, if you start inquiring, you won't get anywhere. Man can become a woman, or women can become a man. He can be a musician, he can be an engineer, he can be a doctor, whatever it may be. He can be a doctor, can become a priest tomorrow. Personality is only that much it means, nothing more than that. But that's not you. That personality whom you are calling now as a personality, suppose in this life you are a doctor, you lost that personality, then you become a priest in your next life. So who are you? Are you a doctor or are you a priest? You can say, if you remember everything, in that lifetime I was a doctor, in the next lifetime I was a priest, or something like that. So in this personality in your next life completely disappears and a new personality comes up. Is it not? New personality comes up. So in the same place it is happening. The same consciousness loses one personality and accepts another personality in the next life. And so what is happening when personality is changing? What's happening? The essential stuff doesn't change. Essential stuff doesn't change. And in the next life, it comes out with another name and another form and another identity. another personality, in other words. And according to the necessity of the body in that next life, it will come up with another name, and also personality will come out in that way. Personality is not given much importance in the Bhagavad Gita. Personality is not given much importance in the Bhagavad Gita. Only for the reasons of developing bhakti, it is spoken in all these things, many things what you find there. It's only for developing bhakti, to develop bhakti towards Krishna, it is spoken in that way. But from the jnanam point of view, that's not the conclusions in that way. So that is why I say. So suppose in this life you are an engineer, and in the next life you are a doctor. So this engineer personality you will lose now, and in the next body a personality is developed for that doctor's personality will develop around you, or whatever it is, politician or businessman or prime minister personality, whatever that is, it will come. That is what Krishna is saying here, that personality will come up at that. Ratriyagame pralayande, he says here, Ratriyagame avashaparta prabhavandi aharagame. In the, you'll see, Ratriyagame pralayande tatrai avyakta samyake. So from that avyaktam, Ratriyagame pralayande tatrai avyakta samyake. Krishna is saying, so in the, if you look into the next verse, you will see the same thing spoken in a little different way. He says, let's read that verse also. Bhudagramasayevayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavati Aharagame Bhudagramasamevayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavati Aharagame Bhudagramasa Evayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavati Aharagame. Again, the same thing Krishna is saying here, that Ratriyagame, you can see, Ratriyagame Avashap, in the first, in the 18th verse, Krishna is saying, Ratriyagame Pralayande Tatrai Avyakta Samyake, in the 18th verse. In the 19th verse, Krishna is saying, Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavadi Aharagame. Can you connect those two? What it means is, that in the 18th verse, Krishna is saying that, Ratriyagame Pralayande Tatrai Avyakta Samyake. In other words, he goes back to avyaktam in the night, Ratriyagame. Or death, when it happens, you go back to avyaktam. And then when again Krishna is saying, Prabhavadi Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavadi Aharagame, in the 19th verse he is saying, Ratriyagame Avashapartha Prabhavadi Aharagame, means that when Ratri comes, night comes, he goes away. Which one? Personality goes away. Prabhavadi Aharagame, when the daytime comes, that personality comes back again. That's what he is saying there. It's very subtle way Krishna has put it there. Instead of, whereas if you start thinking that, oh, I wake up when people will come to all sorts of funny conclusions from that. They'll think that, oh, Brahma, I have to sleep till Brahma wakes up now. And Brahma gets up, I'll also get up. Wake up at that time. This way our mind will go in all sorts of ways, it starts singing. But the principle behind that, it has to be completely based on the spiritual platform as consciousness. Otherwise this doesn't mean anything. Completely identifying as with the soul, we have to see this verses. Otherwise it won't make much sense. That soul consciousness, in other words, it goes back to, it loses its personality when it death happens. When death happens, it loses its personality. When it gets another next body, it gets back another personality again. And these two personalities are always different. That's important thing. That's why Krishna, did you see the word? Ratriyagame avashapartha, he says. Avasha means helpless, he is about it. We are helpless about it. Which personality we are going to take next one, we don't know. And when will we lose this personality, we don't know. So these personalities are coming and going in us. Personalities coming and going in us, and we have no control over that personality. So long as we are a personality, it will keep changing. Ratri agami avasha partha, Krishna is saying, avasha, he is helpless about it. Prabhavadi aharagame, he will get another personality when he comes back again into the death. So here, you can see here in two levels. One, when death happens, personality goes away, isn't it? When death happens, we totally lose the personality. But in the every day, every night, what happens? We lose the personality in the day, night. We get it back in the day. Only difference is, this personality which we lose at night, we manage to get back a lot of it the next day morning. But the other personality, when you lose the body, you don't get it back again, do you? You don't get it back again. You lost it once for all, that personality. So death is actually losing that personality. What we are talking about, personality, everywhere there is courses going on, personality development and personality improving courses, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita for you, they say. Bhagavad Gita for you, to develop your personality. So what Bhagavad Gita can do with your personality? Bhagavad Gita doesn't want to talk about the personality, because as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, it's something that's coming, Prabhavadi aharagame avasha partha. Krishna is saying helplessly it's coming and going in us. This personality is not even staying there. It stays maximum for one lifetime, and in that one lifetime also this personality changes a lot. Such a changing factor it is. It is asat. Personality is asat. It's not sat. That's the point Krishna is making there. So, because it's ahangaram, false ego it is. That is what it is. So, every day we have a birth and we have a death. This personality is experiencing. And when that personality wakes up in the morning, that is a birth. And the same thing is going to happen at the time of death also. The only thing is, the way this personality taking birth and dying every day now is not exactly the way when it happens finally. And the final curtain falls, so once for all, you're putting the whole personality together, put it in the bin, and you're gone from here. But at the moment, we don't throw the whole personality, you know, part of it, we put it in the bin every day. We change it every day, isn't it? So, so every time next lifetime, you get another body, another personality is born at that time. That is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. And the reason why Krishna is saying that, Ajahn Swamiji gives in the commentary, he talks about that in the Bhashyam. Why Krishna is saying that? He says here, Agrada Abhyagamam Krita Vipranasha Dosha Pariharartham Bandha Moksha Shastra Pravritti Savalya Pradarshanartham Avidyadi Klesha Moola Karmashe Vashad Cha avasho bhutagramo bhutva praliyate iti ataha samsare vairagya pradarshanartham cha idam aha. That is the reason behind it. He is saying here, this centered around this personality now. What is happening now for us? With this personality, a lot of things are happening here, isn't it? What is that? Sometimes we experience some distress, and then we start thinking, what have I done to suffer like this? Is it not? Your mind will go straight away in that day. What did I do that I have to suffer like this? Or on the reverse way, you have done a lot of things, but the results didn't come. So you start thinking, I have done all these things, why didn't I not get the results for that? These two things. On the one side, things which you have not done, but some bad results have come. You are suffering because of that. On the other side, you have done a lot of good things, or you did a lot of work or karma, and the results didn't come out. both causes problem. Both ask perplexing questions, isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. Agrada abhyagamam krita vipranasha dosha pariharartham bandha moksha shastra pravarti saphalyaha pradarshanartham avidyadi klesha moolam karmashe vashad. So, because it cannot be proved to anybody, there is shastram in relationship with this karma phalam. This karma, if you perform this results will come. That's how all these sinful activities what we talk about, isn't it? You know, in Bhagavatam also it's there. What all you will have to suffer after death. For all the, if you do this, you'll be fried in the oil in the hellish planets for so many hours or something like that. It's also 99,000 miles or something, you have to walk through the desert. And so many things mentioned, the miseries of hellish planets mentioned in the Bhagavatam, is it not? So, all those things, that Shastram, how did it come about? Based on this personality only, is it not? Because we don't do any sinful thing in the deep sleep at least. At least there, we are pure. Even in the daytime, we may not be pure. But in the deep sleep, every one of us are pure because we are not doing anything wrong at that time. So, only in relationship with the waking state, only in relationship with the personality, this shastram about karmam, karma phalam has developed. Is it not? You think about it. It doesn't apply to deep sleep state, does it? Fifth canto of Bhagavatam, what he talks about in the end, Naragaloka Varnana, the hellish planets, they don't apply to the deep sleep state because it doesn't exist there. The personality was done, all that karma doesn't exist there. Or the personality has done all the good things, he also doesn't exist there. So karmam, karma phalam, that shastram is only in relationship with personality, body and the vacant state. Not otherwise. So he says here, avidyadi klesha moolam karmashe vashad cha avasho. Because this karmashe means this whole spectrum of karma and its results, that one, avashaha, bhutagramam bhutva bhutva praliyate. So, due to ajnanam avidya inside, the personality continue to execute karma in this world, and because of execution of karma, again we get another personality, and again we continue to execute sinful activities or pious activities. And all these things have only been spoken in order that Krishna wants to point out all these things to us and to create some vairagyam in us. That is the purpose of all these things. To become vairagyam. Vairagyam won't develop otherwise. In order to tell us that this is what the truth is. That means that bhutva bhutva bhutagrama tatryatriyagame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyake, he said in the 18th verse. And here also is saying ratriyagame avashapartha prabhavandi aharagame. That our personality, what it way comes out after death, complete change of personality, from night to day, the same personality may continue in this particular personality, but again with big changes happening in the personality, even while identifying with one body. Personality comes with identification with one body. So that personality which we have got with this body is also changing here, isn't it? How? Because you can see with the changes in the body and the mind, intelligence, the ego also is changing. Ego is that personality. The ego what we had when we were young is all going away day after day, isn't it? Eventually when you become totally helpless physically and when you are completely dependent on somebody for your life in this world, you will notice that there is no ego anymore in that person, is it not? So that ego is very much dependent on the body, condition, mind, intelligence, Whereas a young man, 20, 25 years old, feels on the top of the world. Is it not? The ego is so high at that time. So everything is like this, with association with this personality and the body. So that's what he's saying here. Avasho bhudagramo bhutva bhutva pralayate. Again and again it comes out and dissolves, comes out, dissolves, comes out, dissolves. Iti ataha samsare vairagya pradarshanartham cha idamaha. Only idea behind it is, somehow or the other, vairagyam must come from this life. That if vairagyam doesn't develop, jnanam won't come. Vairagyam doesn't develop, bhakti won't come properly. So jnanam, bhakti, they're all dependent on vairagyam. Only for that reason, all these things are spoken very explicitly like that. So he says here, that idea behind that is somehow to develop vairagyam in a person. Bhutva bhutva praliyate, again and again. Again and again it is happening, isn't it? The same thing Ajaya Swamiji puts in the Bhajagovinda. Punarabhi jananam, punarabhi maranam, punarabhi janani jadare shayanam. Idi samsare bahudustare kripaya apare pahimurare. So why this again and again birth? Why is this birth again and again? Avidya. That is the reason behind it. Avidya, ajnanam, avidya. Because of that, you can see here, due to the misery of this avidya, avidya klesham, it is called panjamaha klesham, explains in the Bhagavadam. Five different kinds of miseries, it's there in the Bhagavadam. Asmida, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham, like that. Patanjali mentions also in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will see. Avidya, asmida, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham, like that, five kinds of avidya mentioned there. So when this avidya, you can see this, that sometimes we get a lot of dreams, isn't it? A lot of dreams we get. One person asked this question, what should I do to stop so much dreaming at night? I get a lot of dreams. He asked this question to Maharshi. Maharshi said to him that if you don't dream during the day, you won't dream at night. Because you are dreaming so much during the day that you dream a lot in the night. Of course, there are certain control on the food also necessary to avoid dreaming. So, like that's why eating in the night is not very recommended for this reason. One should not eat after sunset. For this reason only. That creates unnecessary dreams in the night. What we should be looking for is a deep sleep, not a dream sleep. Not the dream state. Deep sleep is what we have wanted, actually, isn't it? So why we don't get that? Because we get a lot of dreams. And these dreams, main reason for that in the during the day, we dream too much. This is a dream, isn't it? What's going on at the moment? That's what I'm saying here. Because, so, when you are awake, if you don't dream, then you will not dream during the night also. Because the desires that we have when we are in the vacant state, they are the ones who comes in the dream. Who comes in the dream. So that means desires. Basically the desires. So these desires, which is in the vacant state, that comes in the dream state and create a personality, and keeping that personality, it tries to have those dreams. Whatever desires we have created during the day, it's not that every day happens the same night, it's not necessary, because subtle way body works in a different way. That whatever desires we have created during the day, those desires will take a personality form in the night and fulfill those desires in the dream state. So what is the reason for desires? Avidya, isn't it? Everybody agrees with that. Avidya, avidya, jnanam, avidya is the cause of desires, everything. Avidya, kama, karma, bhi. This is the basic thing. Kunti Devi said that, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. Kamam, desires. Kamam, from that, karmam comes. So that is how avidya is the thing. So so because of avidya, kamam, karmam, all these things, we have desires, and because of that, desires develops in a person. And if the desires comes in, there will be dreams also. And if the dream comes, if you are getting a lot of dreams, it is an indication that you have another material body again, gross body. Gross body, another gross body will come from that. So, jnanis, you can see how alert they are, because they know very well that if I am developing a lot of dreams during my sleep in the night, that means in my subtle body, there is a lot of desires still unfulfilled. And therefore, I have only one choice left, to accept another gross body. Another gross body. Because you know the dream is the cause of, from the mind comes the body, isn't it? Not the other way. We always say, I got this body and this, I got my mind inside. But it is not like that. It is from that mind that this whole thing has come out. This body has come about. So first thing, the dream is the cause of that body, but first thing, that body will come in your phase of the dream phase. The body what you are going to create in your next life, that will come in the dream phase. And then it will come in the concrete form, in a gross body, in the form of a gross body. So therefore, first thing, we have to purify that dream state rather than the vacant state, and then this state. So therefore, Krishna says, that is what mentions also, Acharya says there, punarabhijananam, punarabhimaranam, punarabhijanani, jadareshayanam. And this one principle, that first purify your dream state, then purifying your vacant state first. If you can get your dream state purified, it's a big guarantee for not getting another gross body again. That means, proper way is that vacant state, deep sleep. Vacant state, deep sleep. But in between, this dream state is growing bigger and bigger, means it's a strong indication of another next gross body. That is the next verse. 19. Bhutagramasa evayam. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratriya game avashaparta. Prabhavati aharagame. Bhutagramasame vayam. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratriya game avashaparta. Prabhavati aharagame. Bhutagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ryatri agame avashapartha prabhavati aharagame. Translation. Again and again the day comes, and this host of beings is active, and again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Helplessly dissolved. So when you read these verses, you should connect it with our life in this world, with this body. Otherwise, if you are thinking, oh, Brahma is sleeping there somewhere long, far away in his world, and I am separated from Brahma and completely different, then you will find it difficult to relate with our life in this world. The way it is that our personality, what is appearing and disappearing all the time, what is it doing actually? It's creating a karma vasana inside, isn't it? Impressions inside. Personality does that. That's how personality developed ultimately. And with that personality, we are working karmam, avidya, kamam, karmam, desires, everything creates impressions inside, and the subtle body grows. Subtle body grows inside. Remember, we mentioned this also before. As we get older, you can see the whole, all accumulated impressions of this life is in the subtle body, and that is what comes in the night, manifests. Therefore, old people doesn't have any sleep. Whole night is dreaming from all what happens in the working life or interactions with the family, relations, everything. All that comes in the night, isn't it? He said this and I said that, and endless branches. It is in the Bhagavatam also. If you look, you will see this. This family life is such a hopeless thing that it will create so much trouble and so much of this, and that's, then you'll have to come back to the same family again to finish up all the business there. You see there? That you will see in the Bhagavatam. I was reading the other day, so I just started thinking about it. That, what's his name? Rukmi, yes. Rukmi didn't want to marry Rukmini to Krishna, isn't it? Rukmini didn't like it. Rukmi didn't like to marry his sister Rukmini to Krishna. He didn't like it. So he tried to stop it from the very beginning itself. Did he not? You know that story, don't you? That Rukmi told that under no circumstances I'll allow Rukmini to marry Krishna. He wanted to marry her to whom? To Shishubala, right? And everything was organized in such a way that Shishubala, Jarasandha, Dandavatra, all of them were there in the palace in Vidarbha on the day of Rukmini's marriage, when Rukmini was going to get married. Krishna decided that he is going to kidnap Rukmini, right? So Krishna went in there, Balram also went there, and they kidnapped Rukmini from there and was bringing her to Dwaraka. So that time, when Krishna was bringing her, Rukmi said, I'm not going to allow this happen. Rukmi says, my sister will not stay in Dwaraka with Krishna. I'm going to get her back. Until I kill Krishna, I'm not going to come back here to Vidarbha. And he decided to stay in Bhojakatam. That's a place where Rukmi built a palace, and he decided to stay there. So when the war happened between Rukmi and Krishna, Krishna didn't kill him because Rukmini told not to kill her brother. They are attached to each other. Who? Rukmi and Rukmini. They have tremendous attachment between the two of them. They have great attachment between Rukmi and Rukmini. So Rukmini says, don't kill my brother. After all, he's my brother. So giving respect for, otherwise Krishna was going to kill him. But Krishna decided not to kill, but did a lot of thing, shaved here one side, other side left open, and like this made looking very appearance very awkward, and left Rukmi there. Balram comes in, and Balram says to Krishna, that what have you done? After all, he is your brother-in-law, isn't it? And he should not have done this. And like elder brother giving instructions to the younger brother, so what you have done is seriously wrong, he says to him. Krishna didn't say anything. He agreed, elder brother is saying something, didn't say anything, left it like that. Rukmi went back, Krishna and Rukmini, Balram went back to Dwaraka. After many, many years, Pradyumna was born, and Pradyumna's life, you know in Bhagavatam, how Shambhrasura threw him into the sea and then came through the fish, when brought into the Shambhrasura's house only, and then Mayavadi came there, Radhi Devi brought her up. And one day, Pradyumna comes back to the palace as a grown-up son to Rukmini's son. So, when Pradyumna came back and started living in Dwaraka, Pradyumna's marriage has to be arranged, isn't it? So, that time, Rukmini thought, who is the best bride for? So, whom does she go to consult with? Rukmi. After all this, what happened between? Still that brother-sister relationship there. Rukmini goes to Rukmi to consult. Rukmi's attachment to Rukmini is also very strong. He says, I got this marriageable daughter now, ready for the marriage. She should be married so that family connections get stronger again. Krishna is laughing from behind after all this, seeing these family relationships. Anyway, Rukmi's daughter married Rukmini's son, Krishna's son. So Rukmi likes Rukmini, but Rukmi doesn't like Krishna. See the whole fun in this whole relationship. I'm talking about family life, I'm saying this. That's why it's so interesting. Rukmi likes Rukmini, but Rukmi doesn't like Krishna. There's a problem there. Okay, they got married. We carried on like that. And then even then, between Krishna and Rukmi, the relationship hasn't changed a bit. Rukmi is still looking for an opportunity to square up with, to beat up Krishna if he can. And Krishna is watching the situation like that. Then, after many, many years, Pradyumna had a grown-up son, Aniruddha. Isn't it? Aniruddha was born. Aniruddha grew up. What happens then? The relationship will never seem to come to an end in spite of all the problems. Rukmi says, I've got a granddaughter to be married and you've got a son, grandson to be married. Why don't we keep this relationship within the family again? So, the decision again to marry the granddaughter of Rukmi to the grandson of Krishna or grandson of Rukmini. Krishna thought that this is the time to put an end to this. Otherwise, this will go through many more generations. So, what did he do? In that Aniruddha's marriage, when the marriage was going to happen, the Kshatriya kings, they have this all sides of things going on at the time. So, they had this gambling game. And there, Balram walks in there. Balram and Rukmi had played this dice. And in that, Balram won, but Rukmi and the king of other kings who were present there, they all together joined up and said Balram has lost, and Balram got angry, took his halam and smashed on his head and killed him. It is the same Balram many years ago told Krishna, after all he is your brother-in-law, isn't it? You should not do anything to him. So Krishna thought, I'll use the same Balram to kill him. That's one. Secondly, the thing is that even when it came to the second generation, that hate hasn't gone from inside. You see, first generation, if you take Rukmi's generation, then second generation was Pradyumna, and third generation is Aniruddha. So Aniruddha's third generation came, still, in spite of all what has happened, Rukmi won't go away from there. And wanted to continue with this. This is the family. Krishna is saying, this is what his family life is all about in this world, which you are giving so much importance to it. It all end up like this. Like when people go and say to Krishna, children are not listening. They are all going in the wrong way. Nobody is listening to us. Parents get very upset, isn't it, when the children don't listen. So they'll complain to Krishna that what should I do now? Help me, my children are not listening, change their... All mothers, parents are doing the same thing. Krishna is saying to them, my children are also like that, what can I do about it? That is his answer to that. You know, these stories in the Bhagavatam is only to show to us that this is what this life is going to offer to us. Don't make it too serious thing out of it and start thinking that it's all very... fantastic here. It is not going to be fantastic. It's going to be day one onward the trouble will start and end up in the trouble. One day you'll get so fed up, you'll be happy to leave this place and go. That's what is ultimately going to happen. So the point here is that the Vairagyam must come. That is the goal behind all these things. Vairagyam is not coming, therefore attachment increases, and the result was Krishna is saying here, that in this Buddhagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyade. Buddhagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyade. Yatriyagame avashapartha prabhavadi aharagame. So, Buddha, he says here that in that verse, Buddhagramam Buddha samudayaha. Stavara jangama lakshanoya purvasmin kalpe asid sa eva ayam na anyo bhutva bhutva ahar agame praliyande puna puna ratri agame annaha kshaye avashaha astutandraha evaha partha prabhavadi avasha eva ahar agame. That is the bhashyam on that. Krishna is saying that all these living entities, what we are seeing now, they were all there in the last kalpam. In other words, last day of Lord Brahma. They were there. They didn't get liberated. So they came back again in the next day of Lord Brahma. And again going through the same cycle. And Krishna is saying that aharagam praliyade puna puna. So when the daytime finishes, we goes back into avyaktam, we comes back again. We don't get released from this state. So bhutagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Bhutva bhutva means again and again it comes up. Again and again comes up. Comes up and it again it disappears. It disappears. So when this appearance and disappearance, when this appearance and disappearance happening, behind that, without any appearance and disappearance, there is a vastu. Is it not? That's what's most important for us. That vastu is more important. That means, what is appearing and disappearing? This personality. Personality is appearing and disappearing, but behind this personality, there is a vastu, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tabatrayonmulanam. That vastu is important for Bhagavatam. That vastu is important for Bhagavad Gita. That is what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is all talking about, that vastu. So there is a vastu behind this appearance of personalities and disappearance of personality. And the job of the Shastram and the spiritual master is to point out to us that vastu and not this personality. In order to make us aware, to take us to that vastu and to be conscious of that vastu, that is the duty of the spiritual master and the Shastram. So, the this individuality which wakes up and disappears, which appears and disappears, it's not a real individuality. It's not a real individuality. In other words, you can see that how it is. In Jagrat, he is thinking, I am such and such. In the vacant state, I am thinking, I am so and so. In that Jagrat state, if you look into that personality, you can see, he will think that I am a brahmachari, or I am a householder, or I am a sannyasi. All this is in the vacant state, this personality. Or he may say, I am a brahmana, or a kshatriya, or a vaishya, or a shudra, or whatever caste, or whatever it is. That will all in the Jagrat state. In the Jagrat state. So it is in that state only you are a Hindu, or a Muslim, or a Christian, or a Jew, or a man, or a woman, or all these things. They are called aropanam. Aropanam. I mean superimposition on us, on the vastu, this superimposition of this. Different identities. Superimposition. Aropanam. But none of them is there in the Swarupam. Isn't it? You are imposing them, but they are not there. On this, in the Swarupam, they are not there. We have put it on them. All those coats and shirts, we have put it on as householder, man, woman, all these kind of things. None of them is there in the Swarupam. Also, it's not there in the Sushupti. In deep sleep state, it's not there. In the Swarupam also, it's not there. When Ahankaram, false ego wakes up in the morning, or whenever false ego comes up, all these things wakes up. When the false ego goes away, all of this disappears. And in other words, when false ego comes up or individual sense comes up, at that time our real self disappears. Yeah? When the false ego, when we are in identification with the false ego, or whenever the false ego comes out, real self goes away. Real self disappears. And where is that real self? Where is that real self? That individual self, wherever this individual self, that means this ahankaram, wherever that is waking up and disappearing, that is the same place where that real self is present. It is in the real self that this false self is appearing and disappearing. And that is what, in individual self, wherever it is appearing and disappearing, it is in the same place than the real self also. But when individual self appears, real self disappears. When real self comes back, individual self disappears. That is how it, that is why, that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. If you look at it, you will see. Parastasmastu bhavonyam vyakto vyaktal sanatanam yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati parastasmastu bhavonyam vyakto vyaktad sanatanam yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati parastasmastu bhavo anyo vyakto avyaktad sanatana yasa yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. Krishna is saying there that that the yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That part remains as it is. So that verse we have to properly understand it. Parastasmastu bhavanyo vyaktam avyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. So okay, it can mention spiritual energy, superior energy and all that, but what it is Krishna is saying there that yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati paraha vedirikto bhinnaha krithaha tasmat purvottad tu shabdaha aksharasya vivakshidasya avyaktad vailakshanya pradarshanarthaha bhavaha aksharakhyam param brahma. So in this verse it says para, param. Param means here that whatever that was spoken in the 18th verse, avyaktam. Avyaktam was discussed in the 18th verse, isn't it? Avyaktam. But that avyaktam, separated from that avyaktam, there is another avyakta bhavam. That is what is spoken in this verse. Another avyakta bhavam. Why? Two, because this Brahman by nature has no destruction. Isn't it? Brahma by nature has no destruction. It says here, vidiriktatve sati api salakshanya swarupa prasangaha asti idi tad vinivrityartham aha anya idi anyo vilakshanasa cha avyakta anindriya gocharaha. So here two avyaktam comes now here. We'll see here that avyaktam vyaktayat sarve parasasmadu bhavanyo vyakto avyaktan sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. Here one is yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. Krishna is saying here that earlier we saw one appearing and disappearing, isn't it? That is this that means what do we say, the person who went to sleep last night, it's the same person who is waking up this morning. We say like that, isn't it? But actually, we claim like that. But is he the same person? No. Whole night, the body has changed. A lot of changes happen in the body. Only why we say that it is the same person who has woken up next day morning? We are saying in terms of the karma, what he is going to function today, or some of the things, vyavaharam, in relationship with vyavaharam, you are saying that. Is it not? That means that you are calling that person, oh, the same man who went to sleep last night, he has woken up today. If you say like that, actually it is not true. In strictly, it's not true. Person, throughout the sleep, it has changed, the body has changed, the mind has changed. Even some decisions you have made yesterday may not be valid today. You may not, you may change your decisions. But in spite of all that, overall we say it's the same person who has come back this morning again after waking up, isn't it? so when he has woken up, I identify, I am that person, isn't it? I'm identifying with that person. So if I connect with my identity yesterday and my identity today, if I connect it together, I identify as one person. I don't know whether I'm making clear. The person whom I went to sleep already with the personality is changing throughout. Throughout the life it is changing, personality. The person who went to sleep last night is not the person who is waking up this morning. But because I connect yesterday's person and today's person together and identify it with that. That's what I'm doing basically. Is it not? So in one level, when I lose my body, finally, I lose my body, I lose my whole identity and I go and take another identity later, next life, isn't it? But very much within this life itself, I'm changing my personality, So, so that particular one which goes and identifies with yesterday's my identity, with today's identity, that is I am. That is that I. I is coming from that. That means I am identifying with yesterday's my personality and today's personality, although it has changed in many ways, but I'm able to connect them together. Able to connect it together. And that is what is called vyaktam. Vyaktam it is. It's called vyaktam. So, that vyaktam, that thing, that vyaktam, that takes birth from an avyaktam. And from that, from some avyaktam, it is coming that vyaktam. Who is doing that? Connecting my personality yesterday with personality today. That's coming from avyaktam. That's coming from avyaktam. Avyaktam means what you do not know. Vyaktam means what you know. This one, what you know. Somebody is doing it, isn't it? Connecting yesterday, me yesterday with me today in the morning. Although I have gone through that deep sleep state. Because in the deep sleep state, I have lost my personality. You have to remember that. In the deep sleep state, you have lost your personality, is it not? But today, when I woken up, I have decided to connect today's personality with that lost personality from last night. Who is doing that? That is vyaktam. That's that vyaktam is talking about. So that comes from avyaktam. And vyaktam means what you know, avyaktam means what you do not know, and I realize that I still exist, awareness in me, and I know about it, I am such and such a person, I identify with, yesterday also I identified with the same thing, say I am an Indian, or I am a man, or I am identity like that, all that identity I was having it yesterday, and today also I am holding on to the same identity. So from yesterday's identity with today's identity, I've connected together and held on to it. That is vyaktam. That is vyaktam. But if you look back many, many years ago, I didn't know this because this vastu, I didn't know which vastu is doing this job. Which is and there is a vastu that is Vedyam Vastavamatra, that's coming from that vastu. From that vastu comes this sense of connecting these two personalities together. So, so because I do not know that vastu, who is doing that, I call it as avyaktam. For example, I may say I am Rama or I am Krishna or I am is a female body, you may say I am Sita, I am Radha, whatever it is. So that is a identity what I have accepted later on. But that is a manifested form, isn't it? That's a manifested form. Whatever body you have identified with. But the person who is connecting all these things, that is unknown to us. That is a vastu, separately from all these things. Separately from all these things. So, here, if you look into this verse, you will see, Parastasmastu bhava. All these verses are quite heavy. Heavy in the sense that Krishna is explaining this from a very subtle level. Like in the Bhagavadam, if you can give that black thing here, please, for a minute. When those such verses come, we should give more attention to it, which is related to Tattvam. These are Tattvam, isn't it? Tattvam is important. If you look into the, if you have Bhagavad, you can look at it, 7th canto, in the 7th canto, if you take the 15th chapter, last chapter is 15th, isn't it? Okay. Yes. So, there is a verse there which says, chapter 13. If you take 13th chapter, verse 5. We have discussed this verse before. It's interesting verse. It is Narada Maharshi saying this to behavior of a perfect person. You remember this verse? Supta prabhodayo santhi sandhau atmano gadi almadrikka pashyan bandhanja mokshanja maya matram navastuda. This verse, if you look into that verse, I'll read the translation. During unconsciousness, and consciousness, during unconsciousness and consciousness, and between the two, he should try to understand the self and be fully situated in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stages of life are only illusory. Are only illusory and not actually factual. This is realization. Narada Maharshi is saying this. And then he says, and liberation are very illusory and not actually factual. With such a higher understanding, he should see only the absolute truth pervading everything. Yeah. Now I'll read the purport on that. Prabhupada is saying, unconscious state is nothing but ignorance, darkness or material existence, and in the conscious state one is awake. The marginal state between consciousness and unconsciousness has no permanent existence. Therefore, one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand that unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions, for they fundamentally do not exist. Only the supreme absolute truth exists. In other words, only Krishna exists. That is the fundamental principle in the Bhagavadam. Only Krishna exists, as confirmed by Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. Then Prabhupada quoted the 9th chapter verse 4. Maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhudani nachaham teshu avastida. by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. That you can see that in the unmanifested state only, we can all say that Krishna is present in all of us. In the manifested state, we are feeling separate from each other on the bodily level, isn't it? That's the manifested state. In other words, unmanifested states, there is no personality. Manifested states, personality comes and separates us all separately, breaks us up all up. And being is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in the, not in them. Everything exists on the basis of Krishna's impersonal feature. Nothing can exist without Krishna. Therefore, the advanced devotee of Krishna can see the Lord everywhere without illusion. Without illusion. So that verse, you can see, Supta Prabhodayo Sandhav Almano Gadi Almadrikka Pashyan Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Maya Matram Navastuda. Raja Maharshi is saying, this Bandham Moksham is Maya. Navastuda is not reality. It's not reality. First thing, these are the things we should take very seriously. Katha, katha, if you keep taking only katha, then you may not notice these things. You will see, read this, oh, this has nothing to do with the katha, I'll leave it behind. We'll go like that. But these are the important thing. Because these are behavior of a perfect, that's Sadachara Nirnayam is a chapter. Narada Maharshi is saying this, a person advanced in spiritual life, he will be like this, in this understanding. So the same thing he says here, that Pashyam Bandhanja Mokshanja Maya Matram Navastuda, he said. And you will see the same thing Krishna repeating in the Bhagavadam later. Bandho Mukta Idivyakya Gunado Mena Vastuda Gunasya Maya Mulatwal Name Mokshona Bandhanam. Now, if you take Narada Maharshi's this verse and Krishna's that verse in the Agadisha Skandam, both are saying to us, there is no such thing called bondage, there is no such thing called liberation. Both this bondage and liberation is nothing but Maya. Nothing but Maya. If you accept that, then where is liberation and where is bondage then? That means while within this body, you are in bondage. You feel you are in bondage, but Vastu is not never in bondage. He is never in bondage. So there are many things in the requires Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam to reflect a lot on all these things what Krishna and Narada Maharshi has spoken there, because that is the cream of the message what Vedavyasa Maharshi wants to give it to us. So he says here also that parastasmastu bhavanyo vyakto avyaktan sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. We have seen there, Purvokta Bodhagrama Bija Bodhat Avidya Lakshanat Avyaktat Sanatana Chirandanaha Yasa Bhavaha Sarvesha Bodeshu Brahmadishu Nashyatsuna Vinashyati. So he says here, Purvokta Bodhagrama Bija Bodhat Avidya Lakshanat Avyaktat, that all living entities and Ajnana Lakshanam. Ajnana Lakshanam means the symptoms of ignorance. Symptoms of ignorance. And it is from there, Bodhagramasa Avyaktan Sanadana Chirandanaha Yasa Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Even though Brahma, including all living entities, including Brahma's body, and all other living entities, their body, even if all of them get destroyed, that avyaktam, that doesn't get destroyed. Avyak par brahmam, in other words, that's brahmam. That doesn't get destroyed. So, you can see here that this parasasvastu bhavanyu vyakto avyaktan sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. So here you can see that that we identify with each personality every time we identify with the personality, isn't it? Because of this reason only, that normally when you see a sannyasi, I'm talking about the traditional way, not the modern sannyasashram. Or in sannyasashram, I don't know what to say about that, but the traditional level, when you go to elders or great personalities, you have to say your name, who you are, and then you pay your respects to them. You pay your respects to them. I am so and so in the certain family or tradition, or Kaushika Gotram or Vishwamitra Gotram, whichever Gotram you say, and then I pay my obeisances to respects to Abhivadeya Nama, and they pay their respects to them. Great personal people when you go and see them. Whether they are jnani or whether they are sannyasis of very highly realized state. But this is all lie. Because that's all based on the body. That's all based on the body. So, because the name, what I am saying to them, this is my name. That name is in relationship with my body, isn't it? So that's a lie, first thing. So, we are not supposed to, therefore, when we go to very highly exalted persons, realized souls, when you pay your respects to them by mentioning your name and family or tradition or whatever, you mention that and you pay your respects to them, you have to know very well that you are speaking from a avidya state and they are in a different state. They are in a different state. These are, we should not say any of them when we go to really meet personalities of that state who are in that liberated state. We should not say this to them. Abhivadanam is not acceptable. It's not right. Yeah. In the world, there is another method in the world. For example, when you go to school, to start the school, what happens there? First, you have to give your father's name, God, or whatever, mother's name, whatever it is, and your name, all this, you have to write and give it to them, isn't it? So, similarly, when the child goes to the Gurukulam, and when he sees the teacher, at that time, this is called Abhivadanam. Abhivadanam means you saying who you are and then paying your respects to that person. As a Gurukulam school child, you will do that. In the beginning, you have to do that. But liberated souls or jnanis, you should not. That's the system. That's the system. Suppose you are in the Gurukulam, going to the school, the Gurukulam is guru or spiritual master, because you are not reached that state, that time you have to say all these things. Otherwise, not. So, kulam, gotram, all these things. So, therefore, at that time, when you go into jnanis, it's not necessary. All what is required is, like you will see in the Bhagavatam also, Shamil Pani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Shamit Pani. Shamit means you take the kushagras in your hand and then you pay your obeisances to show that you are showing your humility towards that person. So Shamit, that is the one. So, with folded hands, with Shamit in the hand, you pay your respects to him. So, parastasmastu bhavonyu vyakto avyaktar sanatana. So, Krishna is saying there that there is some avyaktam. Something is there, avyaktam, isn't it? Avyaktam. From that avyaktam, vyakti comes, vyaktam, vyakti. Vyakti is vyaktam. Vyakti is personality. Vyakti comes, isn't it? I am. That's that vyakti. Vyakti, he appears and he disappears. Like you can see every day, in the vacant state, when we come to vacant state, we come. Vyakti comes. And he disappears later. Avyaktam. Goes into avyaktam. From avyaktam, he comes and he goes back to avyaktam. And in the deep sleep, there is one avyaktam. In the deep sleep, there is another avyaktam. So, from avyaktam came this vyaktam, and this vyaktam goes back to that avyaktam, from where it came from. And in the deep sleep state, there is avyaktam, and because that avyaktam, that means in that deep sleep state also, when you are experiencing that deep sleep. As a witness to that experience, there is another avyaktam present there at that time, who reveals to us in the morning when we wake up that you had this experience there. You had this experience here. So that vastu avyaktaha avyaktad sanatana. Now let me make that a little bit more clearer. We go into deep sleep and we come out from the deep sleep in the morning, isn't it? We go into deep sleep and then we come out from the deep sleep in the morning. So in that deep sleep, what happened? This vyaktam disappeared, a personality disappeared. We experienced everything in the deep sleep state. We experienced that blissful, happy state, what we had at that time. But even beyond that avyaktam, there is another avyaktam, which is beyond that avyaktam. And that avyaktam did not experience that coverage. You know, when we go into deep sleep state, we were covered, isn't it? That is why only experience we know. Only we know the experience what we had. And how did that happen? Because even though when we were covered, there was another person who was not covered in that deep sleep, who comes back and tells us in the morning that about that experience in the avyaktam state. So that's what Krishna is saying here. If you look into that verse, you will see parastasmastu bhavo anyo avyakto avyaktat sanatana. See, avyaktam avyaktat sanatana. Parastasmastu bhava anyaha avyaktaha avyaktad. Avyaktam is already avyaktam. The only way to understand that avyaktam is like this. If you read through that verse again and again, you'll get it. What it means is that when you go into deep sleep, this vyaktam disappeared into avyaktam. Which one? During the day it was vyaktam, personality. That personality disappeared in the avyaktam. And in that avyaktam, what happened to that personality? It was covered with tamogunam and experienced bliss, lost his individuality, everything. And the next day morning, the whole thing has come back again and then again took another personality, isn't it? But while you are going through that deep sleep, Krishna is saying there, parastasmastu bhavo anyo avyakto avyaktad sanatana. There is another avyaktam there and that avyaktam is sanatanam. Krishna says eternal. That avyaktam who is present there. Same thing we'll be studying later on in the yoga of the Supreme Person. Uttama Purusha, Madhyama Purusha, we'll be studying that same thing in detail there. But for the moment, if we understand this, that vastu avyaktaha avyaktad sanatanaha, that beyond that avyaktam, what was experiencing that deep sleep, there was another avyaktam which is outside that coverage, beyond that avaranam there, and that is sanatana, Krishna says. And that sanatana avyaktam yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu na vinashyati. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu na vinashyati. That avyaktam will never get destroyed when all other living entities get destroyed. Sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu na vinashyati. Krishna is saying there that it is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That is that avyaktam which is beyond that coverage, outside the avaranam. Avaranam is there, but outside the avaranam, there is another avyaktam. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. And you can see here, sarveshu bhudeshu nashyetsu. That means body will die eventually, mind will die, false ego will die, and false ego, even in one lifetime, it goes through changes, isn't it? It keeps changing. For example, when we say false ego, you have to know it in a proper way. It's not something, for example, if I think I'm a brahmachari, it's a false ego. If I think I'm a householder, it's a false ego. So here itself we can say, as a brahmachari, I have one false ego. As a householder, I have a different false ego. Or if I take sannyasam and I start wearing saffron, I will have another false ego at that time. So you can see here, the nature of my false ego changes in this world itself. In this world itself, the nature of my false ego also changes. So brahmachari, when he became a grahastha, his abhimanam changes, the false ego changes. Similarly, his swabhavam also gets converted, gets changed, isn't it? And his swabhavam changes. Similarly, say if a Muslim becomes a Hindu, or if a Hindu becomes a Muslim, you can see here, his nature changes, isn't it? If you change your swabhavam, will change along with that. And his personality also changes. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, when the death happens at that time, at the same time, what will happen is, our personality changes at the time of death. Personality changes at the time of death. And that personality is vyaktam. It's called vyaktam. For example, at the time of death, what will happen? We lose this personality now. Whatever I have identified with in this body at the time of death. Already in the life, it has changed a lot. But at the time of death, this personality I will lose, drop completely. And another personality, I take it at that point. And this personality, what I was holding on to, it goes and dissolves somewhere. And that means at the time of death, that becomes avyaktam, and also in the sushupti states, it dissolves avyaktam. Both in the sushupti states as well as at the time of death, it becomes avyaktam. This personality which is vyaktam. So, but it becomes avyaktam, isn't it? It goes and dissolves and it becomes avyaktam. What Krishna is saying here, behind that avyaktam, there is another avyaktam, another I, which is present in all of us in the form of awareness. In the form of awareness. That, that is, I'm existing, I'm always existing. And that awareness never changes. Never changes. How do we know this? Now, when I say these two avyaktam, you will be probably getting confused why I'm saying that. Let's understand it this way. Vyaktam, avyaktam, it is easy to understand, isn't it? One is avyaktam, one is vyaktam. When we go into deep sleep, it is avyaktam. When we wake up, it is vyaktam. That is easy to understand. So, in the deep sleep, what will happen? We go and disappear. And that means our vyaktam has gone, we have become avyaktam. What happens at the same time, something else is happening there, that awareness in me, which is also avyaktam at the moment, isn't it? It's avyaktam for me. The only indication I have, this awareness is telling me, I'm existing. That avyaktam, awareness, is not losing its identity in deep sleep state. That is why you will see in so many times we have spoken about this. Jagrat state, I am there. Body is there, mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is not there, mind is not there, I am there. That I am referring to this awareness. So that awareness is Krishna is saying here, parastasmastu bhavo anyo avyaktat sanatana. See that? Parastasmastu bhavo anyo avyakto avyaktat sanatana. this is already an avyaktam. In the sleep, when we go into, we become avyaktam straight away. Is it not? We become avyaktam straight away. As soon as sleep happens, we become avyaktam. But simultaneously, there is another avyaktam there, which is the awareness. That avyaktam is sanatana, is eternal. Is eternal. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsuna vinashyati. When all living entities gets destroyed, that avyaktam doesn't get destroyed. In order to give stress to that point, that awareness is eternal. Awareness, you cannot destroy it. You cannot destroy it, even if you want to. That is how strong our existence is. If existence is based on that awareness, nobody can. That it is on that basis Krishna has spoken in the second chapter about our, it cannot be destroyed, cannot be nasado vidyade bhava. All that verses is based on that avyaktam, awareness, based on that. So so sanatanaha, and that is what is saying here. Sarvesha bhudeshu, in all living entities, even when the body is getting destroyed, without getting destroyed, even when the body is continuously changing, without going through any changes, nashyat suna vinashyati, that ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam, in the Upanishad, that's how it puts it. Ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam, mahandam vibham atmanam matto dhiro na shochati. I think it is in the Chandogya Upanishad, it says there, that mahandam vibham atmanam matto dhiro na shochati. When does he lose his lamentation? When does he stop lamenting? Ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam. That means, while he is in the body, he is out of the body. Ashariram means no body. Shariresu, he is in the body. When that happens, which Krishna says in the Bhagavatam also, dehastho vina dehastha. So, ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam. Anavasteshu avastitam. How is this body anavastitam? Anavastitam means that, anavastitam, the word anavastitam means there is not even one moment the body is not changing, continuously changing. That is anavastitam. And what is the nature of that? Ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam. This body is continuously changing, but awareness inside never changes, always same. Although the body is changing, awareness never changes. And ashariram shariresu. And when that awareness becomes inside this body, even though within the body, awareness becomes without the body. Without the body, awareness comes to it. Then ashariram shariresu anavasteshu avastitam mahandam vibham atmanam matho dhiro na shochati. Upanishad says that mahandam, he is great. He is great. Vibham Atmanam. He is pure consciousness. Matva dhiro na shochati. When he becomes that, then he does not have any more lamentation after that. So, anavastitam means not for a moment exist without this body changing. Constantly changing this body. And in body, shariram, or the body continuously is changing. Therefore, it's given the name anavastam. Anavastam. He is inside there, anavasteshu avastitam. Changing body, but inside unchanging soul, unchanging atma inside. Just like they give the example in the Upanishads like this. A river is flowing. So that water, if you look at the water, it's not the same water the next moment. That water is gone, isn't it? Another water has come. But normally we won't say like that, the river is flowing, we will say. Similarly, this body is like a river. It is flowing through us. It's flowing through us. And eventually, but we want to take notice of these changes in the body. Why? Because the change is not happening in the soul. It's happening in the body. Just like when you see a river, you don't say, oh, the river, it is not the same water I've seen a few minutes ago, it's gone. I don't say like that, do I? I think the river is flowing. For me, the river is flowing. That's all. I don't know which water has come and flown. That's all is immaterial to me. So similarly, with our body also, it is coming and going through us. this body, but when we start identifying with the body, all the problem starts. Just like if you start checking the water, what you have seen before, is that the same water I am seeing now? No, you're not seeing the same water. Similarly, you're not seeing the same body. After the next moment, it has changed so much inside this body. So if you touch the water, you can't, if you want to touch that same water again, you can't touch. You have to touch another drop of water next time when it comes, isn't it? So even though you may say, I have touched the river, but the place where you have touched on the river, that is gone. That water has changed, isn't it? Second time, you can't touch the same water again. Similarly, body also, it is not that we have got one body. And from the day of birth right up to today, body has changed so many times. It has already changed. Cells are continuously changing. And because it is changing like that, it is called in the Upanishads Anavastham. It is called Anavastham. Why we do not know this change, what is happening in the body? That is the basic question, isn't it? Why we do not know about that? Suppose an ant moves on our body, or a fly comes and sits on the body. We know about it, isn't it? We come to know about it. So fly is sitting on my body, or an ant is sitting on my body. But cells are continuously dying in the body, and new cells are coming up also. And any time when you look at it, you can keep on looking at it, but still we do not know the body is changing. We are not conscious of that, are we? It's like if a fly sits on the body, I know about it. The fly is sitting there. Immediately the feeling of sensation of touch is there. But the body, when it is changing, I'm not aware of that at all. This is a big question, isn't it? Why is this? Because after 5 years, 10 years or so, if I take up my photo and look at it, I see there, oh, there's a big difference in my body. Or somebody else tells me from outside that, oh, you have changed a lot. Suppose somebody tells you like that. And either you have to look into your photo or look into the mirror, and only then you come to know that you have changed, your body has changed, isn't it? Otherwise, we are not at all conscious of the constant flux that's happening. We are not conscious of that in the body. On the other side, body is continuously changing. So, why we do not know this change is happening? There is a big answer to that in the Upanishads. That's what Upanishads are saying, that you are not in the body. That's the answer to that. You are not in the body. Very difficult, isn't it, to accept that, eh? You're not in the body. We are used to saying, I'm not this body. Somehow or the other, we are trying to come to grip with that. I'm not this body. Upanishads are saying to us that self-realization is important. You are not in the body. That is the Upanishad's conclusion about it. Because we are not in the body. That is the reality. That is why you are not aware of the changes that is happening in the body. That is happening in the body. So, we'll stop there now for a few minutes. Parastasmastu bhavonyam avyakto avyaktar sanatanam yasa sarveshu bhuveshu nashyatsu navinashyati. So, parastasmastu bhavonyam avyakto avyaktar sanatanam esa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. That's the words we are now looking at. Main thing to realize there is that change is happening in the body, isn't it? Change is happening in the body. Change is happening in the mind. Ego is changing. Everything is changing. But we are not conscious of that change that is happening. We are not at all conscious of the changes that's happening inside us, in us. And the reason for that is we are not in the body. I know it is a difficult concept to come to terms with, because so many lifetimes we had been going through this constant identification with the body. And they give, till realization happens, realization is important. Realization, self-realization. That is the most important thing, because we are not in the body. We are not in the body. So they give this example also in the Upanishads, an example like that. There's somebody in a prison. Somebody is in a prison. And when he is standing there in front of the room or the cell, prisoner's cell, and near the window, and through the bar, the windows, they got the iron bars, isn't it? Through that, he is putting his head out and saying, please open and let me out from inside the prison, he is saying here. And many people are coming and looking at him and going away, and tells him that I can't let you out. I can't let you out. They are saying like this. Because the door is not there in the front. Door is at the back. He is coming to the other side and putting his head through it. People are walking outside and saying to them, open the door, let me out from here, let me out here. He says like that. So everybody says to him that it's not possible. So what, some one person comes through that way, and an older person, he says to him, why do you cry like this? So he says to him, can you open the door and get me out from here? He says to him. The old man says, why do you say you are stuck there? Look back and go inward and look there. The other side, the door is there. It's open. Come out through that. He says like that. So when he looked back, he noticed that there was a door opened at the back, which he could have come through from there. But there was no wall there. It was completely open. So in other words, only in the front side there is a wall, there is a window, and he has put his head through that and saying, open the window for me, open the door for me, get me out from here. So similarly, I am sitting and saying that I am in bondage, I am in bondage. That is the important principle. I am in bondage, I am in bondage, I am always saying like that, isn't it? Krishna also, that is why both in the Bhagavad Gita and Narada Maharshi says there, Krishna also says there, there is no such thing called bondage, he says. And there is no such thing called liberation either. There is a thing called liberation either. So, but when I start looking through the body, looking through the senses, looking through the mind, I feel I am trapped. I feel I am trapped in this body. In this body, and I don't know how to escape from here, because I have and feel distressed about it, and therefore, because my vision always now is through the senses and through the body, isn't it? Body means senses also in that way. So when my vision they call in the Shastram as pratyak. It is in the Kathopanishad, that verse you can see, Paranjikaryan, that's a famous verse here. That when your vision becomes inward looking, when you don't start looking through the senses anymore, and start looking, at that time you'll realize that you are free, you're not in bondage, you're not in the prison. You will know that. That's the only way to know. Not by killing the body, that won't help. At the moment what's happening, I'm not in the body first thing. But if there is an experience like that, when I am experiencing everything through the senses, I am experiencing touching, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, all the five things, it is through that I am coming out from inside to the world. I am coming to the world from inside through these five exit doors, isn't it? So moment I withdraw through these doors, I come back and go inward looking, where I have to look back where I am, that you will see there nobody has bound us. Nobody has bound us. That is the Upanishad. Ashariram. Ashariram, Sharireshu, Anavasteshu, Avastitam. That is that state. So, therefore, that state is called ashariram. Ashariram. He has no body at that time. Even if it is there, he is sitting in a body which is anavastitam. Anavastitam means which is constantly changing. That's why it's called anavastitam. It is not permanent. It's a constantly changing thing it is. So in the, and it gives you a feeling that you are in that, trapped in that. You are trapped in that. So, Mahandam Vibhum Almam Matvadhino Nashochati. So, Mahandam Vibhum Alma Matvadhino Nashochati. This Brahmavidya, this knowledge of the self, in the olden days, they went to the forest, and in the forest they heard about this from the rishis, sages, until it came to their realizations, experience level, they will keep it in confidence, Brahmavidya. It's like that. The rishis, they kept it in confidence till they realized it. When they went to the forest and lived there and practiced spiritual life, till they realized it, they will keep to themselves and keep it as a confidential thing. Now we are discussing all this very openly, all these things we are talking about it. But we ask the question, is everybody going to realize it now? Because we are speaking and we are propagating or preaching or whatever we call it. Does it mean that everybody is going to realize it? Even if you speak about this openly, only those who are very qualified or those who have got the good fortune of having it, only they will get it. That's the truth. Only those who are very fortunate or only those who are very qualified for that, they will only get it. Everybody is not going to get it. So, just like suppose you take some seeds and throw it into the ground, a handful of seeds of any plant, you throw into the ground, not all the seeds will sprout or grow. One or two may come out, remaining all other will die itself, isn't it? It's the same way, it is like that. So, therefore, this Brahmavidya or this knowledge of the self, or it's also called Upanishad Vidya. So that was a there was a time when it was spoken and widely taken seriously by the people, and that time may not be there all the time. It may not be like that. So it is, at one time it was practiced in one way, like people went to the forest and they took it so seriously and they developed all the necessary qualities for realizing the truth, way of life and their habits and that seriousness. It was not necessary to say everything to them. They were able to get it without much effort. They were able to have it, get it. But now a time has come that we have to speak everything now, is it not? I mean, some of the things, what's happening in this world in the name of spiritual life, it is very shocking what goes on here in the name of spiritual life. Because people have gone so far away from the practice of spiritual life, and with the with this powerful influence of the materialism, practically to say that identification with the body has grown stronger, and the whole purpose of life itself has become as though the looking after this body. To such an extent it has gone that far that it has become necessary now to speak everything very openly and very, you can see in many places Prabhupada's purport is more about talking about living a civilized life in this world, not about spiritual life. It's mostly, many places you will see that how sinful you are, how the sinful activities in this world is destroying not only yourself, including the material nature also, how we destroy this world. And so many things, you can see that it's coming from that, because of the time has come like that, become like that. It has to be spoken in that way. So, so therefore, they very spiritually advanced people, they get that, so to say, the encouragement from within, from Antaryami, inside to speak in that way. Because the time has become like that, the times have changed so much. So, but also they know very well, many places somewhere there are qualified people, jiva, ready for it, to take it. So wherever they are there, they will get it. They will get it. They may not make any propaganda or anything in this world, but they will take it very seriously, the message. And they will go for the result. So, when they get it like that, the knowledge of the self in that way, that liberation, although liberation is a, there is no such thing called, Krishna says, no bondage or liberation, but that release from the material existence, that will not be Krama Mukti or Jivan Mukti, but it is Sadhyo Mukti. There's difference in all these things. Liberation, you know that in the second canto, when Bhagavatam started, Shuka Brahmarshi started talking about Krama Mukti first. What was the reason for that? He started talking about different kinds of liberation there. The beginning of Bhagavatam itself. Mainly, when Shuka Brahmarshi came there to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he noticed that there were so many other great personalities there. Great, great sages who were present there. And some of them had different ideas than Sukadeva Goswami had. Some of them suggested that he had 7 days time left, he should practice some Ashtanga Yogam or Raja Yogam, Hatha Yogam, different proposals from different sages. Somebody even suggested that we should engage him in performing some sacrifices in this yagam, homam, and things like that. So many different ideas came about, knowing very well that they are all have different ideas behind. Shuka Brahmarshi initially wanted to tell Parikshit, before getting into Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, that what is liberation and what are the processes by which it happens, liberation. Therefore, he talked about Krama Mukti. He talked about the first appearance as the Padala Medha Sahi Padamulam, that is the universal form of Krishna, that was also discussed there. And then he talks about Jivan Mukti, Sadhyo Mukti, everything that is spoken there. And this Sadhyo Mukti means, what is the Sadhyo Mukti, Jivan Mukti, Krama Mukti, we all know. Krama Mukti means gradual liberation, gradually getting liberated. That means that you don't go back to the spiritual, to the self-realization straight away. You are on the path. You keep progressing life after life. So, but once you leave this body, once you leave this body, you don't come back here. You may go into higher planets and in that way to Brahmalokam and eventually get released from there with Brahma. That is Krama Mukti, gradual liberation, as it's called. Then there is Jivan Mukti state. Jivan Mukti is that in this lifetime itself, due to hearing and practicing through sadhana, through cultivation of knowledge, purification of one's own existence, in various means, eventually realizing the truth while within this body. That is Jivan Mukti. What did this call us? Jivan Mukti. Sadhyo Mukti means that you heard the truth and it went straight into the place where it's intended to go, in the heart. And realization happened here at the very moment. That is called Sadhyo Mukti. It won't happen to everybody. That you have to remember. that Srimad Bhagavatam, like he heard 7 days time, but in that 7 days time, what he heard was initially all different incarnations, creation, and so many hellish planets, all sorts of things were discussed. But if you go through the Bhagavatam carefully, you will see that now and then Shuga Brahmarshi will bring personalities and through them will speak the truth for a few verses. Like you can see that Jadabharata Upakhyanam. Through Jadabharata Maharsh, Jadabharata how and Rahugana, that samvadam between the two. Vidura Maitreya samvadam, and all those things are for that. But at the same time, to give a background of that, he brought Mahabharatam into it and all what happened between Ashwatthama and Duryodhana and Yudhishthira and all that story also is brought along with that into Bhagavatam. That's all there in the Mahabharatam. Same thing is brought into Bhagavatam also. But now and then you can see there that through different devotees or great personalities like Kundi Devi, Bhishma and all others, through them, Shuka Brahmarshi will speak the truth, what he wants Parikshit really to take serious note of. And then doing all that, finally, he noticed that, he says to Parikshit, you still have 7 days time, it's more than enough, he says. Because realization of the truth, strictly speaking, doesn't take a lot of time. It shouldn't. It should happen instantaneously when you hear. If it has gone to the right place and it has got there and everything is open, the channel is open, it will go into the right place and you will realize the truth. But it is blocked up at the moment. And they say in the Bhagavatam, Karna Nadim Chinati, it says, isn't it? So because it's blocked up, it's not going into the right spots. Although we are hearing, realization is not happening to all of us, is it not? So therefore, the process is that Sadhyo Mukti is that when personality like Parikshit, that's why you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many people have heard, not only Parikshit, so many others heard there, isn't it? But all of them did not have the same impact like Parikshit had. It was not only spoken to Parikshit, thousands of people are sitting there. And then after the 7 days time, when they asked that, where will we hear Bhagavatam again? Shuka Brahmarshi looked everybody and he understood that there is only one person who has got it from me, apart from Parikshit, that is Sudha Goswami. So he says to everybody that those who want to hear Bhagavatam again, they can go to Naimisharanyam and Sudha will speak Bhagavatam there, and those who want to hear, they can go there, he says. In other words, Shuka Brahmarshi knew very well that everybody didn't get it. Only Parikshit got it. Proof is that he went back to the he realized that I'm not this body at the end. The Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Altmanam Altmanyadhaya Nishkale. That verse in the Bhagavatam says that. That he realized I am not this body. That realization has happened to him at that time. And that is what he wanted. Shuka Brahmarshi wanted that to happen. But among many others who have heard Bhagavatam there, everybody else, if you ask the question, Shuka Brahmarshi says no, they all haven't got it. Everybody who heard there, same speaker and same message, only one person got it. Others didn't get it. So that's why you can see there the problem that Shuka Brahmarshi spoke, Parikshit got it. That's clear. Among the listeners who are present there, everybody is not on the same level. Not on the same level. Obviously, Parikshit was in a much higher, better listener than anybody. So, when they give the example as the best speaker and best listener, it is Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit. Not Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. Because Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit is higher than Vedavyas and Narada Muni. As far as hearing is concerned. Yeah, because but Narada Maharshi's situation and Vedavya's situation is slightly different. Parikshit and Shuka Brahmarshi, the best speaker and the best listener. Why they are best speaker and best listener? Reason is this. When Narada Maharshi spoke Bhagavatam to Vedavyas, and when Shuka Brahmarshi spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit, they are on two different levels speaking. Shukha Brahmarshi was realized Srimad Bhagavatam, although Vedavyas compiled Bhagavatam. In the total experience of Bhagavatam is concerned, Shukha Brahmarshi is on a higher level than Vedavyas. Son is higher level than the father. And the proof of that was, in the second verses you will see there, that Yam Pravrajandam Anubetam Abedakratyam Doibhayino Virahakadaram Ajuhava Putraedidan Maidaya Taravobhinedu Tam Sarvabhudahrudayam Unimanatosmi. Vedavyasa Maharshi walked out, and all the women who were bathing there, they took clothes and covered themselves, seeing Vedavyas. When Shiva Brahmarshi came that way, they didn't cover their body at all. And so they asked the women, why did you not cover yourself? When Shiva Brahmarshi came that way, they said, there is no need. Shiva Brahmarshi is not in the bodily at all. Not even slight trace of bodily identity with him. So there itself you can see there, Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Muni Manatosmi. When Vedavyas called him, reply came from the trees and the plants and the creepers everywhere. On behalf of Shukha Brahmarshi, asked the question, what responded to Vedavyas, in other words. So Vedavyas recognizes that Shukha Brahmarshi is on a higher realized state on the Bhagavatam is concerned. And so Sadhyomukti, coming back to this, Sadhyomukti is that Sadhyomukti means like the way it has happened. Shukha Brahmarshi spoke, immediate impact on the Parikshit and realized the truth. That is Sadhyamukti. So, because the reason for that is, this awareness inside, the bodham, avabodham inside, or awareness inside, it has no connection with the body. In reality, it is like that. That awareness, it has nothing to do with the body. It has no connection with the body. It has no connection with the body. It is like this, just like there is a famous saint in the Tamil Nadu. Long ago he lived, Thirumoolar he is called. He wrote a famous poetry called Thirumandiram. He mentions there that just like he says that once you have experienced that awareness properly, then you can leave the body. As soon as you get that experience of that awareness properly inside, the body can be left. He gives the comparison. You know, when the snakes go through the forest, yeah, they shed their skin. That's how they find out the snake has passed through this way. There will be a white coating of the body which will be lying there in the path. It will shed its cover. Thirumoolar says here that exactly like that, when we go through this body, we will leave the body and we will go through that. It's like that only, this connection with this body is only that much. It's not within the body. Body will go on its own and we won't even know about it, that the body has gone, because there's no connection with the body. We think why we experience so much distress then at the time of death, because of the identification with the body. I am thinking that I am this body, and only bodily pain and bodily problems, everything I accept as my problems and my identity. So, it does not mean that one who is liberated while within this body itself, that he will forget his body. What has happened is that he has realized the truth. That's all that has happened. He has realized the truth. So, that's why Krishna is saying here that Parastasmastu bhavanyo avyakto vyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsuna vinashadi. Sanatana means eternal principle. The eternal principle inside us, always there. Yasa sarveshu bhudeshu nashyatsuna vinashadi. What is that eternal principle? The awareness inside. It's such a serious thing, this awareness. We don't take notice of it. We don't take notice of it. When you hear about this from the books or from classes, you can accept it on an intellectual level, but then you don't know how to move further from there, isn't it? And that is where people don't show any interest, that part of it.
People listen to everything and they feel that yes, it all makes sense also. That means through intelligence you are accepting it, but then you are not moving further from there. That is where the problem is. So, that is what he mentions also in the Bhashyam. It says here that Purvoktad Bhudagrama Bija Bhudad Avidya Lakshanad Avyaktad Sanatanaha Chirandanaha Yasa Bhavaha Sarveshu Bhudeshu Brahmadishu Nashyetsuna Vinashyati. Ajari Swamiji mentions here that Sarveshu Bhudeshu Brahmadishu, all living entities including Brahma, he says, even all of them get destroyed, their awareness doesn't get destroyed. Awareness doesn't get destroyed. That is how important that awareness is. That is the only thing we have got to hold on to in relationship with our identity. And that too, a very open thing it is, isn't it? Everybody understands that. I'm aware, conscious of, aware of my own existence all the time. In all, say, whether in the, I may not be aware of others' existence. My own existence is concerned. Each one of us are aware of our own existence all the time, which never leaves us. You cannot even destroy it, even if you want to. It's not possible. That's how strong that awareness is, because it's not the body. It's not coming from the body. So this indicates to us that there is some serious business to do with that awareness. When such an important thing Krishna has put into us about the thing called this awareness, which all the Shastram and the Acharyas are saying to us, it's coming directly from the soul, but we are not giving any importance to it, and we are still trying to inquire about the truth, and that will not work. That is the main principle. That Purvoktad Bhudagrama Bijat Bhudat Avidya Lakshanat Avyaktad Sanadanaha Chirandanaha Yasa Bhavaha Sarveshu Bhudeshu Brahmadishu Nashyetsu na vinashyati. So, including Brahma, all living entities, even if they get destroyed, this avyaktam never gets destroyed, because this is Brahmam. That awareness is coming from the Brahmam. That is what it is mentioned here. So, after saying that, he says here that you can see here that avyaktam. That means that avyaktam, which is beyond the other avyaktam which we talked about. Remember the other avyaktam what we mentioned before. And this is not sleep. This is not sleep. This avyaktam doesn't go through sleep. And it is not dream also. It's not the dream also. Nidya na vidya grahanam na vidya. There is a verse in the thing. Na vidya grahnadi kinjil na yadhartha bhode. Nidra padarte grahanena tasya chideva vidya vilasandi ashunyaha. Vilasandi ashunyaha. So, the nature of that is that avyaktam, it is called vidya. Vidya it is. So, this is something important. When we keep saying avidya, 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 and now Shastram is saying that avyaktam is vidya. In other words, avidya in vidya is the consciousness, nature. Realization is that, it is knowledge. In you will see there, in the Bhagavatam if you look, you will see there is a verse there, Jadabharata says about this. If you, sometimes we misunderstand this, that when Jadabharata says there, in the fifth canto, it's there in many other places also, but in the fifth canto you will see Jadabharata's one statement. He says, 1 second. It is in the 20 Rahugana and Bharata talking to each other. What's the chapter number? 10? Yeah. No, it's 12 actually. Chapter 12, verse 11. It is a proper answer to that question. He says, Jnanam. Jnanam means Vidya. Vishuddham. Paramartham. Ekam. Anandaram. Tu Bahir Brahmam Satyam. Pratyak Prashantam. Bhagaval Shabdam Samyam. Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. This is that verse. It says here, Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Ekam. Anandaram Tu Bahir Brahma Satyam. Pratyak Prashantam Bhagaval Shabdam Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. See, he is saying there that Paramartham, absolute, Vishuddham, pure, that one thing, unlimited, Anandaram, Anandam, Bahya Abhyandara Shunyam, that means it has no either inside outside. Vyapakam, it is spread everywhere. Andharmukham, it is inward, everything inside. Nirvigaram, and it is not controlled by any emotions. That is Jnanam. That Jnanam is Satyam, he says. It's a difficult thing to define properly all these things in any language. It's difficult because it is knowledge. That's why he says here, Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Ekam Anandaram Tu Bahir Brahmam Satyam. And then he says, Pratyak Prashantam and Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. It's also called Bhagaval Shabdam. Devotees will call it as Bhagavan. And Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Others address it as Vasudeva. Address him as Vasudeva. He said, Mahatmas call it that Jnanam. That Jnanam is called Vasudeva. Mahatmas call it as Vasudeva. So, that is what it is mentioned here also. That you can see that here, that Vidya is that. So, that means that Chitshakti inside, awareness inside. That's coming from Chitshakti, awareness. Chitshakti is that thing. When you're going through the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and when everything is changing, that doesn't change. Awareness doesn't change, isn't it? From three states, when it is changing, awareness is not changing. And for whom that has woken up, he will also realize it, that he is also not going to change. At the moment, change is happening in the body, change is happening in the mind, intelligence and everything. Because we identify with all these things, we feel we are also getting old. We tell others, I'm getting old, I'm getting sick, I'm getting... But Vastu, which is coming, Chitshakti, doesn't have any of those things. Doesn't go through. Not only that, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti doesn't create any changes in the Vastu. In the Vastu inside. So that's why when we realize that awareness, when you come to that, which is pure knowledge, as Krishna says there, Jnanam, Vishuddham, Paramartham Ekam, Pratyak Prashantam, Bhagaval Shabda Samyam, Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Says that's knowledge. And if you aware that knowledge has to be not paroksham, it has to be aparoksham. Paroksham means you hear something and then it is through your mind and intelligence you have picked it up. You have picked it up through mind and intelligence. What you have picked it up through mind and intelligence, after if you have properly contemplated on that, proper analysis done inside through your intelligence, and if you have converted that into as your own experience, then it is called aparoksha. Once it has become your own experience, or you are that, you have become that, aparoksha anubhuti it is called, anubhuti comes. At that time, it's not anymore paroksham. In the beginning, everything is paroksham. All spoken, you have heard and you have taken it. And then you have put your effort into it to analyze it more and more, churning it inside, as it say. You kept churning and churning, and eventually, because of the power of churning inside, through mananam, that you have started experiencing that truth inside yourself. And Jyotisham Abhidha Jyoti, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there, that Jyoti, it is compared to a light, to a sun. It sometimes it's compared like a sun. So the sun from inside start illuminating, And that what he mentions here, that he start realizing that I am that, and then at that time all this identification with the body, mind, intelligence, everything goes away on its own. And Krishna says here that that vastu has no change. That is that avyaktam Krishna is referring to. That avyaktam has no change any time. And you will come to that understanding that there is no change that is happening. Nachiketas asked this question in the Kathopanishad. This is the vidya, knowledge he is asking to Yamadharma Raja in the Kathopanishad. He is asking him, Yamadharma Raja asked this question, why you are asking this question, that you want this knowledge, this particular knowledge, why do you want that? And so when Nachiketas asked this question to Yamadharma Raja, give me this knowledge of the self, Yamaraja says to him, you can ask me anything you want, but don't ask me about this, he says. The only thing you should not ask is this one, he said. So in the olden days also, the rishis, the sages, they also will give it to others only after verifying that the person is qualified or not. Otherwise they won't give it. They know that it's a waste of time for them. So that is why you can see in the Kathopanishad that Yamadharmaraja also asked a question. First verify, is this person qualified to have it or not? So that's why Jnanamargam, Jnanam you don't propagate. Bhakti you can propagate. Jnanam you can't propagate because propagation won't help. Person is not qualified, then what's the point in propagating knowledge? It won't work. But bhakti you can propagate, and developing bhakti in that way, kriya kalabha bhakti it's called. That means a lot of activities and powerful preaching and changing the world and all that. That's allowed because it brings people into spiritual life in a very early way, in a nice way. And then if they are fortunate enough and suddenly they become serious in spiritual life, it may take them further from there. So anyway, so Yamadharmaraja asked this question to him. And at that time, if you look at the answer, you will see there that this is the verification. Yamadharmaraja is verifying Nachiketas is ready for it or not. Otherwise, he didn't want to discuss it with him. So he says to him that, Yeye Kama, it is in the 25th verse.
Yeye Kama Durlabha Martyalo, okay. Sarvan Kaman Chandada Prarthayaswa. Imaha, Ramaha, Saradaha, Saduryaha, Nahidrasha Lambhaniya, Manushehi, Abhirmal Pratabi, Parijarayaswa, Najigedo, Maranam, Manuprakshehi. So here he says to him that initially he gave him the opulences of this world. Says to him, Shadayusha Putra Pautran Vrishwa, 23. Bahun Pashun Hasti Hiranyam Ashwan, Bhumer Mahala Ayadanam Vrishwa, Soyamja Jiva Sharado Yavadichasi. He says to him, that I will give you, he says, you'll have children who will live up to hundreds of years, and plenty of cows, horses, elephants, and wealth. And you have a big kingdom in this world, in the planet, and live comfortably for long period of time.
And at least you have all of them and don't ask this question. He says to Nachiketas, Shata Yushaha, Putra Pautran Vrinishwa, children and grandchildren you can have. Bahuan Pashuan, plenty of cows. Hasti Hiranyam Ashwan, horses and elephants and horses, all of them. Bhumer Mahad Ayadhanam Vrinishwa, you'll have emperor's life in this world, like a big king you can live here. Soyamja Jiva Sharado Yavad Ichasi. So, and you can live as long as you want. Very alluring offer, isn't it? Very interesting offer. He says, Soyamja Jiva Sharado Yavad Ichasi. Yamadharmaraja is saying, I won't pull you back. You can stay there as long as you want. And why don't you do that? He says to him. Edatulyam yadi manyase varam vrinishva vittvam chira jivikamcha mahabhumo najigedastva medhi kamanatvam kamabhojam karomi. He says, if you are not happy with that, you can still have as much as gold and jewels and making him more and more to making an offer, improving the offer every time. And a long time, and the key emperor of the whole planet itself, and I also give you all facilities for sense enjoyment to the highest level. He says, and after saying all these things, Yamadharmaraja looked at Nachiketas, and there was no change in his face. In Yamadharmaraja's face, there was no change at all. It was at that time, what Yamadharmaraja did, instead of making all these offers, he started giving some other higher offer. And that is the next verse. Yaye kama durlabha martya loge sarvan kaman chandada prarthayaswam ima rama hasaradaha sadhurya nahi drisha lembhaniya manushyai abhirmal prathavi parijarayaswa nachiketo maranam manuprakshin. I'll offer you something what's not available in the earthly planet, he says to him, and the happiness of the heavenly planets, he says. Not only happiness of this world, happiness of the heavenly planets. And he says to him that chariots and all the music and all the, which of course we don't know, but obviously Yamadharmaraja knew about it, what goes on there. So he says to him that all those happiness of the heavenly planets I'll offer to you, saying to him, Apsaras women who are experts in singing, dancing, and extremely beautiful, all of them, human life can even dream of that. Yamadharmaraja is saying to Nachiketas. And enjoy that life along with them, with all of them together, and live as long as you like. But don't ask me about life after death, he says to him. That's what Yamadharmaraja told him. So we'll stop there today. It's 10 past 5. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.